Your dog's ready for one more block. Your knees, not so much. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
It is a Sunday morning. Here we are amongst all the clouds. Wendy Snyder here with you. We have Dave Schwann in the newsroom. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, and I want you to know that I do not have any coffee in front of me. I wanted to be here in time to talk to you.
Oh.
So I'm put. And if people know me around here, I always have coffee in my hands. So.
Well, why weren't you prepared? Why didn't you get it before?
I had a newscast to prepare, and then I had to do the news, and Mark Carmen and I ran out to the coffee machine. He beat me to it.
I cut him off, Wendy. It was terrible.
Carm, so good to have you in the sports lounge.
Wendy, great to be here. Great to hear you. Do you always do the Lou Reed Sunday morning to start? Because that's awesome.
Yes, the Velvet Underground is a little intro until his estate gets wind of this, and then we won't probably
be
able.
It's a different story. We'll just sing it.
Yes, that is my little open. Yes, that would be pretty to have us all Sunday morning.
I mean, that's an elite tune that somebody of your level would know to play, so congrats.
Well, it's funny you say that, Carm. Good morning, Eli Burke. He's producing the show today.
Good morning, Wendy.
You say that, I feel so out of touch with Lollapalooza going on right now, so it's funny you said that, Carm, because I was listening to your news this morning, Schwanny, and you're like, Tate McRae, the XX. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Who?
So I'm not alone.
No. Let's go through some of the bands for today and okay. Be honest. Now, I bet Carm hasn't heard a lot of them either.
I got nothing. But just you should underline that if you were 20, you'd be dominating this Lollapalooza better than the 20-year-olds are today, but you're just not 20.
I feel like I've missed out on it. I have friends that, you know, are on the other side of 60 who go all 4 days, but they've gone years before. I am a poser. I act like I like music, and I've never been. I'm never probably going to go. I think it's cool as heck. I really do. I did a little searching about the history, and Perry Farrell, I interviewed him on this very radio station. It's probably at WGNradio.com. He was a hoot. He was really interesting. Lollapalooza was founded in 1991. Perry Farrell put it together. And it was basically a farewell tour for his band, Jane's Addiction. That's how it kicked off. And then it became this nomadic alternative rock road show. And now it's this massive destination festival. There were people lining up at 8 this morning. The gates open at 11.
They were there last night. They're going to be there all day today.
And like last night, I missed it. Did it rain last night?
Friday night.
Oh, is that the bad one?
And the torrential rain on yesterday morning. Oh, my gosh.
They ended up delaying the start of yesterday's gates by 3 hours. The gates were supposed to open at 11. They ended up opening at 2 p.m. So a whole lot of people were standing out there.
Yeah, the music started at 3, I think.
There was like a mud wrestling event that broke out in the middle of the field there.
Oh, God.
Were you in there, Eli?
I was not. I stayed safe and dry. I was actually at the sports desk yesterday holding the fort down.
Okay.
All right, so have any of us on this Sunday morning show gone to Lala?
No.
We are lame.
No. I had a friend who no longer lives around my neighborhood, but he would go with his son a couple years. And my friend would go and see the bands he wanted to see, and his son would meet up with some friends, and they'd go to see the band they wanted to see. That was cool.
This might be the most ridiculous thing I've said on the radio in a while. Well, I just don't think that it's about the music at all. Like, it's just, hey, we're having an enormous party where we're doing all these things that we do in our, you know, by ourselves, but we're all going to do them together and have a lot of fun. And by the way, there's music playing in the background. Am I missing something here?
That's the influencer effect. Everyone's there to post it on social media and get the views that way. You're not actually there for the actual show.
Like, they don't even know who's playing the people that go to these things. They don't care. They're just there to hang out and be young.
Well, to be young again, first of all.
Right.
Secondly, as I was driving in, I thought, you know what? I am a get-off-my-lawn person when it comes to music. Because I love Southern rock. I love classic rock. I don't really know a lot about new music. And I thought, as I was driving on Lakeshore Drive, which, by the way, congrats to the whole city of Chicago, the police department. For as packed as Lollapalooza, hundreds of thousands of people, it is smooth sailing on Lakeshore Drive. It really is. They've done such a great job. And I don't know, how many years have we hosted it here in Chicago? Because I think by now we should have gotten it figured out, but they did. And I thought, you know what? I should go one year just to check out new music. See if I like it. Don't you know, like, in the first 10 seconds of a song, if you like it?
Yes. Oh, sure.
Me too.
And have you ever had a song that you heard the first few times and you didn't like it, and then you kept hearing it and it kind of grew on you?
Yeah.
And you ended up liking it? That's happened a lot to me.
Yeah, that's happened a lot to me too. And it's weird because I love Elvis Costello, and I just loved the sound of his voice, his band, The Attractions. And then it's like that drew me in back in high school, along with like REO and Bob Seger and all those classic rock. But then once you like it, you start really focusing in on the lyrics, and it's like, dang, he wrote a great song. So the lyrics aren't things that get me at first. And, oh, I'm going to sound so old and get off my lawn, but it seems like all this indie music and new singer-songwriter stuff, it sounds very similar to me. Am I?
All sounds the same.
I think that Squirrel Flower today is going to branch off in its own squirrel corner. That's something you've never heard before, Wendy. So when you're done with the show, maybe you can sneak over there and see Squirrel.
Squirrel. I've seen a squirrel. I just don't get it.
Will Swinton, a Sunshine Benzie's going to be rocking it today.
Let's talk about who's playing today. Schwani, go get your coffee. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you.
And listeners, feel free to jump in. 312-981-7200. Give me some Lala talking points. Have you gone? Will you go again? Are you there right now? We'll take your calls here on 720 WGN. Good morning. Good Sunday morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder here. 312-981-7200. 708 has texted in. Please hurry up with the names. We're sitting in the car at the church parking lot needing to get out, but we definitely want to hear the Lala band names. I'll get to them. I'm sorry. I don't want to make... What time does your mass start? I mean, 9:30? That seems like a weird start. Or you're very late for the 9 o'clock. And 708 wants to know if... or 779, will Leo Sayer be headlining at Lollapalooza today? Because you make me feel like dancing. No, he will not be there. Jane is checking in. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hey. If you really want to hear what's going on in the independent music scene and not hear the same old, same old, it's time to look past Lollapalooza and look at Mile of Music in Appleton, Wisconsin, which draws over 100 independent musicians who play multiple sets for 3 days. At bars, restaurants, performing arts centers, and the college here in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay, that sounds great. What's it called?
Mile of Music. It is literally a mile of music for 3 days, where you can go from venue to venue to hear different types of independent music and different types of independent artists for 3 days.
That's awesome. How long has that been going on?
13 years.
Wow. 4-day festival runs the first weekend in August, and a collaborative community event with support from nearly 50 businesses and community sponsors. Live music all over the place. Mile of Music. Mile of Music. That sounds great. Who are some of the bands you listen to, Jane?
I heard an amazing hard rock band last night called Color of Corduroy.
That's a great name.
Oh, my God. Colors of Corduroy were just the musicianship. And what made it even more awesome, I think the drummer was like the 15-year-old little brother of the main singer.
Because
they looked exactly alike. And he was like this 15-year-old. Like, I started thinking about Joe Walsh. Because remember Joe Walsh?
Yes.
Playing in bars.
Remember.
When he was 14.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know.
All right.
And there's this All right.
Well, no, no, no.
Go on about the good band.
No, you can. Go ahead. We're here all day. And another one that you like?
Roberta James. She's an individual singer, folk singer. There was a blues guy. Oh, shoot. What's his name? Tommy? Out of Nashville.
Yeah.
He was insane. Like, if he was out of Chicago, I think he would have blown up by now.
It's so hard to make it in the music business. It really is. All right. I can't get past The Colors of Corduroy. That is such a great band name. It really is.
Gotta look these guys up. The people next to me were like going, oh my God, the lead singer reminds me of when I used to see Eddie Vedder.
Oh, that's.
Like, I don't think that's close for voice wise, but oh my God, is he fun to watch.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the tip, Jane. It's Appleton, Wisconsin, Mile of Music, first week of August. So it's wrapping up.
End of August every year.
Next year, I may head out there just for the heck of it. Thank you, Jane.
Well, reach out to me if you do.
All right. Get her number, Eli. We'll do that. Some of the bands playing at Lollapalooza. Turnstile. Be honest. Has anybody heard of any of these? You can answer now. Eli? Turnstile?
Maybe I've heard of it, but let's just say no.
All right. This one I don't even know how to say. Biba Doobie?
They're awesome.
It's close
Bless
enough.
You. Bless you.
They're awesome. You're such a liar.
They're so good, Biba Doobs.
You just sound funnier than I do saying it. Espa? Yeah. Chainsmokers. I've heard of the Chainsmokers.
Chainsmokers
are
big.
Yeah. I don't know one song, but I've heard of them.
Well, Lefty is a new name in music that's coming up.
Not doing anything for me. God, I'm so unhip. Not Mulligan. Hot Mulligan? Yes, Hot Mulligan. See, Granny needs her glasses to even get through this this lineup. Snack Time.
That's good.
That's in the 12 o'clock hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have the whole
schedule.
That's
the 12 o'clock hour of our show.
Oh. Okay. I missed that one. Surfing for Daisy. It is so hard to come up with a band name, by the way. My son's band, the Vaughn Building, is the gymnasium at his high school, Lyons Township High School, and he kind of just chose that as a placeholder and then never changed it because it's so hard to come up with a band name, and they have these band name generators. It's fun to do. Carm, you should do that later. Like, you put in something you like, I don't know, football or tennis. Do you play ping pong also?
I do.
Okay. You could put table tennis or something and as one of the words, and then it'll randomize some band name. We should do that later and come up with a good band name for you. Do you play?
I was in a band.
You were?
Swanee.
Many, many, many years ago.
All right. Talk to me.
We were the Vulcans.
Oh, I like that.
Star Trek was big and everybody was into Mr. Spock, so we were the Vulcans.
What was the role?
Oh, B's here.
What was your role in the band, Schwani?
I played the drums.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Not very well. I just banged on them.
We got pictures.
But I hope not.
I hope so. I'm going to be Google searching the Vulcans later on today. Vandalux, New Constellations, The Bends. Porchlight. That's a good band name. I just don't know. Jackie Hollander. Not a great band name, but maybe a great musician and obviously their name. West End. I don't know anything.
That rings a bell.
I don't think so.
West End?
It
rings
don't.
A bell.
Really?
It does.
Kind of.
The West End of Town. I don't think about Sunshine Benzie. Does that...
Nope.
I don't know anything, and I don't even know Tate McRae or the XX.
No, I don't either.
But you said it so convincingly during your newscast that is who is playing today.
Well, it was plainly written in the copy, so I was able to pronounce it.
Some news that came out yesterday. Lorde was forced to pause Lollapalooza after multiple fans pass out in the crowd. That is just not good.
Fan behavior at concerts has been kind of a story this whole summer, not just at Lolla, but like at Noah Kahn concerts. I don't know if you've seen the stories about that popping up. I don't know what the deal with people's behavior at concerts recently. I mean, obviously it's always been an issue, but it's kind of feel like it's been an uptick this summer.
I like to have a couple of beers and go to a show. And when I was younger, we did that as well. But the key is you like to stay conscious so you can enjoy the music, especially with the cost of today's concerts.
You go there to make memories. You'd like to remember it.
Hey, no, that's true. Now, I have a question. Are all of these bands playing at the same time and you go to different stages? Is that how this works?
That is not how this works, Schwanny. There's 38 bands today.
Yeah, but there are a bunch of stages, and if somebody is playing on one stage and you want to see another band that's playing
right.
at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
But there are hundreds of thousands of people. How do you get there quickly?
You have to make up your mind early. I saw a video on social media earlier. I think it was on... It must have been Friday because that's when Smashing Pumpkins was performing. He was trying to decide which headliner set he wanted to go to between Charlie XCX, who was on one side of the field, and Smashing Pumpkins on the other side. And his deciding factor was he was trying to figure out which side was more likely to bring out Olivia Rodrigo as the special guest. And he thought that Charlie XCX was going to make that move. So he left Smashing Pumpkins early to get a front row seat for Charlie, not realizing that he could hear Olivia singing behind him as he was leaving the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, because she went up on stage. I love her. And I will tell you this, again, totally on hip, but I'm aware of her when she was on SNL. SNL is my window into new music. And she is outstanding. And then at the Riviera pre-Lala, I'm getting mixed reports on this. Somebody said it was Youngblood's show, but I think it was the Smashing Pumpkins show at the Riviera. They brought out Barry Williams, who, of course, Greg Brady, and he sang Sunshine Day with Billy Corgan on guitar. And whoever posted this video on social media showed the balcony, and Flava Flav was headbanging to it. And the whole audience was singing along to Sunshine Day. Everybody smiling, Sunshine Day. It was awesome. And then I guess this listener is kind of up my alley, 708. Wendy and crew, greetings from Joanne and Berwyn. Let's all say hi to Joanne and Berwyn.
JoJo.
I'm 65. I was in Rosemont last night to see Styx and Chicago with thousands of my fellow ARPers. It was a giant sing-along. It was great. Lots of energy. Even way up in the balcony with its 12-inch wide seats and narrow aisles. I happily live in the 70s and early 80s when it comes to music. We are in the same alley, Joanne, JoJo, as Carm calls you. All right. We are going to do This Week in Health, and we're going to talk to a physical therapist. Back to school, back to sports, injury prevention, and I've had a lot of physical therapy in my lifetime. We all have because we all are, you know, ARPers. And 312-981-7200 if you have questions. And Schwanee's News right now, 720 WGN. And at 9:33, it's time for Schwanee's Far-Flung Forecast.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Good morning, everyone. And get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We are moving far away today, but we're staying in the United States. We're going to Hilo, Hawaii.
I've been there.
Pretty neat place to visit, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Interesting. It's on the Big Island, and apparently there has been human habitation there since 1100 AD. Quite a bit of human habitation going on there. And as Wendy just said, it is a very neat place to visit among the Hawaiian islands. But we bring up Hilo because if you've been there, you may well have been caught in a rainstorm.
Yes.
And given all the rain we had, I couldn't believe the rain yesterday morning. That was really a torrent of rain yesterday morning. But we had as much as 4 inches. Tim Joyce reported yesterday that we had as much as 4 inches in one day in some places yesterday. But Hilo gets far, far more than that. It is among the wettest places, not only in the U.S., but in the world. They can get upwards of 12 feet of rain in a given year.
Wow.
157 inches and 276 rainy days. Hilo can get that much rain. And they have been just hit time and again by tsunamis and hurricanes. They're really doing some extensive damage, a terrible tsunami there in 1960. And there's still a memorial to it there also. But nonetheless, Hilo is a really neat place to visit. And ironically, they don't have any rain in the forecast today, but it is mostly cloudy and 72 there right now. They'll have a high of 80.
We went to Hawaii on our honeymoon almost 30 years ago. And we hit the Big Island and Maui. And Lahaina on Maui was so cool and so wonderful. And they were affected by terrible fires.
The fires. Everybody I know that's been to Lahaina loved it. And they were really, really saddened by the devastation of that fire.
Yeah.
There.
And then on the Big Island, we got to swim with some dolphins, which was really cool. And then we went.
That would be great.
I mean, not really, like I wasn't holding on to the fin.
No, but they were moving right along.
Yeah, and you could pet them, and they were so smooth and silky. They just were great. And then we went to Kona, Hawaii. That's why I named my dog Kona.
Some of the best coffee I've ever had.
It is delicioso. And then we drove to Hilo, and it was like all of a sudden you just entered this sheet of rain, and it just followed you all the way to Hilo.
We had a great time there, though.
Yeah.
We spent a day or two walking around. We stayed in a wonderful... I'll never forget the hotel we stayed in had no main door.
What?
Maybe it was under construction or something, but... You know, what would look like a double door where you would step on the pad and it would open up for you.
There
was no
smart.
Door to open up. Like Get Smart. Yeah. There was no door to open up. You just walk right on in. But it's so mild there, you know, temperature-wise, that I guess it didn't matter.
Yeah. What's the temp there today in Hilo?
72 right now. They'll have a high temperature of 80. They will have some rain later in the week.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. I always learn something during your far-flung
forecast. Well, I just, you know, given the rain we've had, really, not just yesterday, but all summer, the storms we've had, I thought, well, what's the rainiest place? And when I was doing some research, Hilo came up, and I said, there it is.
Excellent. Love it. And I guess I did create a band name without even realizing it, according to 847. The band is called Granny Needs Her Glasses. So they will be at Lala later today. We are going to talk to a physical...
That would be an awesome band.
We're going to be talking to Mike Humphrey next for This Week in Health, a physical therapist with Northwestern Medicine, where everybody at some point has or soon will be going to physical therapy, and we'll do that next. Any questions, comments, 312-981-7200. Good morning to you. Wendy Snyder here, This Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, and joining us this week, Mike Humphrey, physical therapist with Northwestern Medicine. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
I'm great. Not currently going through physical therapy at the moment, but I did say something before we got you on that at some point, I would say it's safe to say that everyone has or will go through physical therapy at some time. Would you agree with that?
Correct. Yes. We all are getting older, and even when we're younger, things happen. So things break down and wear out, and often we need a physical therapist to get us back into action.
Yes, I have had two total knee replacements, and Mike, my physical therapist, I hated him at the very beginning. I wanted to swear at him. I really hated him, and then I ended up thinking he was the biggest, best person in the world, because physical therapy is difficult, and you have to listen to your PTs, people. you're going to hate them for a while, but the reason is to get full motion, to get that joint or whatever it is back in working action, right?
Correct. Yeah. Total knees are probably one of the toughest ones, and that is a procedure where we are putting people through pain right away, as you said, trying to get their motion back as soon as possible. Once they have good motion, then the pain should be lessening and mostly working on strengthening balance, proper walking technique. But early on, it can be a little rough.
And poor Lisa Dent fell and broke her arm and had to get a shoulder replacement. And I heard shoulders are pretty difficult as well. Is that true?
Correct. Shoulders also challenging. Rotator cuffs actually can be a harder rehab than total shoulders. So when you have to wait for the tendon to heal and getting motion back can be more challenging. Rotator cuff, ACLs, total knees, those are probably the toughest three.
And hips, not so difficult, are they?
Absolutely correct. Hips, sometimes we don't get to see them. Now, as a physical therapist, I think I could help everybody, but sometimes they don't really need therapy unless they're having some limping or some weakness. Some surgeons will not send them to PT, whereas every total knee should have therapy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it, and you will hate your physical therapist for a couple of times anyway. Can we take a question? Because Donna is calling us right now. Donna, how are you today?
I'm very good for being 90 years old.
You're 90 years old. God love you, Donna. Where are you calling from?
St. Charles.
St. Charles. All right. And you wanted to talk about physical therapy? Are you currently doing it?
I'm not right now, but my question is, will physical therapy help me with my balance? My balance is way off, which affects my posture and so on.
Okay. So is physical therapy available to help with a 90-year-old's balance, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So a lot of my older patients, you know, ones younger than me, will say, oh, my balance has never been very good. Well, if you don't do something, it's getting worse by the minute. So working on stability, exercise with your therapist, balance can make a big difference in preventing falls. And fall prevention and the risk of falling, that keeps therapists like me awake at night. We want to keep everybody upright. We don't want anybody falling. And definitely seeing a physical therapist and doing balanced exercises can be a game changer.
Will that help Donna's posture?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's some structural things, it may not change totally, but often if we get the core stronger, the muscles stronger, getting her walking and moving better, then that can correct some of those challenges.
Excellent. Well, Donna, if you can do it, go do it. It'll help you. And
I'm going to see my doctor next month, and I'm going to ask him for physical therapy. So,
and when
thank
is,
you so much.
Donna, when is your 91st birthday?
Next June.
Oh, good for you. Continued success, Donna. Great to hear from you.
Thank you. I really enjoy your programs on WGN. Everyone I enjoy.
Thank you so much, Donna. Now, that is a good patient. That is someone who wants to come and wants to better themselves. I will also tell you this, Mike. When I had my first knee replacement, it was after an injury in high school. I was long jumping the first week of freshman year, and the gym teacher was kind of lazy, did not want to go get the rake and rake the pit after it had rained. So I landed in the sand, and the rest of me twisted around, and ACL started it all off. And then years later, I had a replacement. But when I was going through physical therapy, there were these women that were probably Donna's age that weren't in pain at all. They're like, oh, yeah, I had my knee replaced last week. I'm doing great. Why is that some people hurt so much and some don't?
Yeah, that's hard to say. Everybody is unique. You know, we say if you've seen one total knee, you've seen one total knee, because every total knee, every ACL is so unique and so different. And we have people that blow me away on how tough they are and they have no pain. I don't consider myself that tough. I think I'd be on the other end, like scrambling and groaning a little bit with the exercises. But it's amazing how great a lot of people do.
That's incredible. All right, we're going to talk about ACL injuries in youth athletics. We're going to talk to back to school, back to sports, injury prevention. We will continue. If you have questions, 312-981-7200. We have Mike Humphrey on the line with us, physical therapist with Northwestern Medicine. Wendy Snyder here this week in health on 720 WGN Radio. Mike Humphrey joining us this week, physical therapist with Northwestern Medicine. Now, Mike, I had mentioned something about ACL injuries. A lot of kids are playing hard. A lot of kids are getting injured. Why does it seem like more kids are having these injuries?
Yeah, Wendy, that's a great question. And again, it's interesting that you went through that same scenario. But now we're seeing the intensity is so incredible now. A lot of athletes, even the young teenage male and female athletes, it's a single sport specialization. So they're just playing soccer all year round. They're not getting a chance to play other sports that works the muscles differently. Oh. They're participating in multiple games, tournaments, practicing 11 months out of the year. So very little downtime. But also, if you're just playing basketball or just playing soccer, you don't build those other muscles. You don't recruit those nerves and muscles, and the body mechanics are not improved with playing other sports. So when you're just in one sport, especially at a young age, you're kind of locked in, and that's kind of a disservice to our athletes.
That is interesting. I never thought about that, using the same muscles all the time in a particular sport all season and then the next season. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that. Bernie has a question for you. Hi, Bernie. This is Mike Humphrey. We're talking physical therapy.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I am 8 weeks post total knee replacement, and the PT is going really well with that. But what's happened now in the past, I guess, 2 weeks or so, is I've developed a real pain in the opposite hip. And I feel like in PT, we do things that I don't normally do in my exercise routine. We do a lot of single leg stuff. We do like leg presses. And I'm just wondering, can possibly the PT have irritated or created a hip condition that I never had before? I've never had any issue with this hip.
That's a great question. Mike, any advice?
No, it is a great question. And I'm certainly guilty. I've flared up plenty of people in my days. Often, though, when you have one knee done surgically, the opposite side, you're kind of putting all the weight on your good leg. So that hip or that other knee on the other side gets a lot of wear and stress that it hasn't had before. So it's not always your fault or the PT's fault. Sometimes it's just that, hey, when you're minimally weight-bearing on the one side, those hip muscles on the opposite side are kind of getting angry. They're weak. They're not used to that load, and they can cause pain and problems.
So obviously, I'm just guessing here, Bernie, but Mike, should she bring that up to her therapist?
Absolutely. Yeah, bring that to your therapist. Have him or her check you out, see what they think. And if they have any questions, they also will loop back with your orthopedic doctor to see what he or she thinks.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we'll do. Thank you.
Good luck to you, Bernie. Another part of physical therapy is a foam roller is your best friend sometimes. My second knee gave me like an IT band issue, and that foam roller is the greatest thing ever invented, Mike.
It is. It's a great tool. Athletes have been using that for a while. They even make some softer ones on the market now, so for some of our older patients, laying on a foam roll is a little rough, but they do make some softer density ones that are easier to lay on, or you have your partner, your therapist, roll it on that thigh or that IT band, that big wide lateral tendon that can be quite tight and problematic with a lot of people.
And that's because post-surgery, that's when it happened. That happens more frequently, I bet, than we would think.
It does. It does happen a lot, but also happens in runners get this a lot, IT band syndrome in athletes just from overuse, doing too much too soon, too fast. Things get stressed and break down a little bit, and then the tissue is less flexible. So the foam roll can really help loosen that up.
All right, 630 has texted in something that I would like to bring up. This person's saying, fortunately, when it came to physical therapy, my natural perfectionism worked in my favor. I did my homework exercises to the nth degree. The result was that the arm in which my radius bone was fractured is just about as flexible as the arm that was never fractured. I don't know anyone who's ever done the homework exercises. They just do it when they go to see their PT.
Well, that's interesting. Now, we are doing a new system where we will try and do home exercises remotely so we can get some feedback to the patient and kind of increase their compliance. You know, if the therapist is watching them, or even if they can record digitally that they're doing their exercises home, if the patient wants to do that, that kind of keeps them more on track and really can help with their progress. Because yeah. A lot of people do slack off at home, but we have some remote therapeutic monitoring if they want to. It's been a good way to increase outcomes, increase performance and compliance.
Yeah, I got a whole folder full of physical therapy exercises, and I saved them. And yeah, it's hard to do it when you don't have someone pointing at you saying, come on, come on, do it. Someone wants to know, 312, is physical therapy good for a 75-year-old woman that has osteoporosis?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So strengthening exercises, they don't just increase muscle strength, but they increase bone density and bone strength at any age. So it's really important for people at any age, even our 90-year-old caller, to try and not just do cardio, not just walking and biking, but lift weights with the guidance of a physical therapist when needed to make sure that they're not overloading things. But lifting weights, doing squats, leg machines will help build muscles and bone density, along with weight-bearing exercises like walking.
I hate to say the S word, but school will be starting this month now that we're in August. And back to school, you know, there are some parents that take their kids to daycare and they're pulling their kids out of the car seat. Is there something we can do to prevent everyday injuries?
Well, I see I have grandkids now. So my kids, there's some new car seats that swivel, which are great.
Because, what?
Yeah. When you're leaning over there, you're right, and lifting your 30, 40-pound toddler out of that seat, the stress on your back is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So now they have some seats that will rotate, then you can get them a little more head-on, keep your knees and your hips bent, you know, kind of lifting with your legs, so to speak. Getting the child in close to your chest. That is much better than being way extended forward into the vehicle, trying to lift them up. That is a challenge.
And stretching is probably better for us than we originally thought. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, stretching is important, especially, as you know, going through therapy. And when you have a problem, it's important. But if you only have so much time, cardio is number one, and strength is almost tied for one or close second. Stretching is not as important if you're doing your aerobic, your cardio exercises, you're walking, you're biking, you're swimming, your elliptical, and lifting weights. Those are way more important than stretching. Stretching becomes more important in physical therapy when you have a problem to prevent certain problems. But I see a lot of people putting more effort into stretching, but really probably should put more of that into weightlifting, getting stronger, and then doing cardio.
You will love this listener. 630, home exercises are great. They're keeping me right now from getting a knee replacement. I've been out of physical therapy since February, but continue to do them 3 times a week per the PT's orders. So she gets an A, right? Or he.
Absolutely. We love it. That just keeps her healthy, or he or she healthy and not seeing her doctor or her therapist.
Yeah. 847, great question here for you. My physical therapist uses red light therapy. Can you explain the benefits of this and tell me what it is? I've heard of it, but I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, I don't particularly use it. Some of my colleagues out here use it. So it's a type of modality that can increase blood flow, decrease pain, help with inflammation. So it's a pain-free a modality procedure that can be done in the clinic and can really help people with some superficial muscle tendon type pain.
I don't know if you still do this. I'm sure you do. When I had my knees replaced like 13 years apart, and the second one obviously was more recently, and they hooked up like little electrodes to my thigh muscle to kind of, what was it doing? Just kind of making the muscle contract and kind of working it to help?
Absolutely, Wendy. So by doing electrical stimulation, we can recruit. When the knee hurts so much and is swollen, the front thigh, the quadriceps, the front thigh muscles don't want to work. So So if we can give them some stimulation, we can get them to contract, kind of wake those muscles up, and then that can really speed up your progress.
I don't know what it is. I had so much pain, but I really loved going to physical therapy. I really did. It's fascinating. I think we have time for one more question. Mary has called us. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Oh, hello there. I was told to be quick here, so I'll just say that I have a neighbor. He's 80. He's a Dalva. He was a jack when he was younger. His knees are really shot. Trust me, he's not going to do the therapy. He's not going to do the upper. But so could you go cut to the chase to maybe recommend, is there a medication that's best for pain for something like this? Would it be Tylenol, Motrin? Could you recommend an over-the-counter for, I know this, I'm asking for a miracle, but just a little bit of relief?
Well, it's a great question. So, yeah, I'm not a physician, and hard to recommend medication. We know that Tylenol can be good for a lot of people, but it doesn't help inflammation like Advil or ibuprofen can. That being said, it's up to the doctor and the pharmacist to know what kind of medications are okay. But really,
that's what I told him.
Exercise is the best medicine. I mean, if he could try ice, hot packs, cold packs, ice. But really, if he could get his muscles working, it doesn't have to be anything intense, but just trying to see a doctor, a therapist, and learn some basic exercises to get those muscles working, that can really take a lot of load off those worn-out joints.
Mary, tell him to,
and
tell him to talk to the pharmacist because they can recommend something too. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Good luck to your neighbor.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Mike Humphrey, it's been a pleasure hanging with you today, physical therapist with Northwestern Medicine. We appreciate your help. We'd love to talk to you again.
I hope so, Wendy. Have a great day.
You as well. News coming your way now with Schwani from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Wendy Snyder here with you, and Dave Schwan is in the newsroom. Mark Carman in the sports lounge. Eli Burke producing the show, and Eli has put together everybody's favorite radio game, and it happened on the John Landecker show, but it's Eli's game, so we play it on Sundays.
It travels with me. You said it yourself, Wendy. It is everybody's favorite game, and we have a new contestant, Mark Carman. Welcome to the game. Welcome to Two Truths and Eli, the game where I have found a bunch of headlines throughout the week, but one of them is fake, and your job, along with the rest of the crew here, is to find that fake news story.
Thank you, Eli. Pleasure to be here. I'll do my best.
And there aren't many rules I have to go over. I didn't think I'd have to go over rules before. We have had a cheating scandal on this show before. No one in this room is a guilty party. You are all clean. So
not me.
Everybody here is good. So let's keep
look
it
at
that
me.
Way. So I'm going to read three stories. We'll save all of our questions after I've read all three. And I have a little proof that some of the stories are real that we can get into after the fact. So without further ado, I will get into story number one. A senior living center in Tennessee has gone viral for its annual resident slip and slide tradition. Proving that summer fun never has an expiration date, the senior center enlists the help of both the fire department and local football team to assist the seniors on and off of pool floats to help them down the slide. Drawing massive crowds of cheerful spectators and instruments, the adrenaline junkies continuously put on a show. The staffers say the real danger isn't the slide itself, it's the wait list to go again.
I love it.
So a senior center with a slip and slide in Tennessee is story number one. Here's the second one. A tech company has been receiving complaints after an update to one of its smart fridges went awry, causing the fridge to display sassy statements based on users' grocery habits. The fridge uses its internal camera combined with an AI engine to analyze its contents, to determine expiration dates, send restocking reminders, and suggest potential recipes. Instead, users have been greeted with messages critical of their lack of produce, overspending on junk food, and letting leftovers expire. Customer service agents have been up in arms as the remarks have been uncalled for, but at the end of the day, aren't completely wrong.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second one. Here's number three. Researchers in California have resorted to OnlyFans when their funding has dried up, but it's not what you think. As federal funding has been pulled back from an increasing number of scientific projects, professors at UCLA who study marmots, a tiny rodent, have developed an interesting crowdfunding approach. Now, I haven't clicked this link since I'm using my work computer today, but they claim that when you subscribe to OnlyMarms, they promise, quote, unfiltered yellow-bellied marmot content from the Rockies with nearly daily updates. The grad students that are with the program are celebrating the pivot in hopes to see more funding. They just hope nobody tells their parents what they're doing.
All right, this is going to be hard. We have to collectively come up with the one we think is false.
Yep.
And we have to agree on it?
Ideally. Yeah, so two of those stories are true. One of them is the Eli.
All right. This is a hard one. First of all, I don't know what is the animal for that last one?
A marmot.
What is that?
It's a tiny little rodent creature.
Ferret.
And I think like part of the reason why they want a website like this is so people are more aware of them.
Okay. A large, stocky ground squirrel belonging to the rodent family. Really cute. It looks like it's in the hole.
I would limit looking stuff up in general during this segment because the cheating scandal did come from somebody just flat out looking up one of the stories as I was telling it before.
Oh, so I almost cheated right there.
But we caught it. We're good.
All right,
we're good.
All right. Well, that one seems crazy to me. A refrigerator that gives you remarks on what your groceries are seems kind of fake to me. I believe the slip and slide is happening at a senior center in Tennessee because that would be fun. Although I bet there's a lot of hip replacements after that weekly slide. What do you guys think is the fake one?
I'm mulling this over.
I know, because they all sound fake.
Yeah.
Good one this week, Eli.
It is a good one.
Two truths and Eli.
I was more leaning on the slip and slide, but then the way you just described it, Wendy, takes me away from your influence is on me. I guess I would probably go with the
OnlyFans.
No, oh. That seems the fridge.
The fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Schwani, what do you think? You think that's the fake one?
Now I'm wondering, Eli jumped to the fridge, so I think he wants us to say the fridge so he can get us. So you got to really, this is all about a study of Eli.
Carm, you're playing this game exactly right. I use a lot of reverse psychology tactics and head games. You're playing this the right way.
You did a lot of reading on the first story. I'm like, are you an over-reader, like somebody that would really try to trick you by writing a lot for the first one? Which, you know, that seems Northwestern-esque on some level. I'm not sure.
I had to get it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Two truths and Eli.
I'm going to have to press you for at least the first guess. If we could combine efforts to...
I'll go with Carm. Schwani, are you cool with the remarking refrigerator?
With the refrigerator, yeah.
So you have all decided that
I could see that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
You know, you open the freezer door in the grocery store and some AI voice says... Nice choice.
Just remember, Schwani, it's not about getting things wrong. It's about putting your best foot forward.
That's true.
How about I help make the decision a little bit easier and we take things out to Murfreesboro, Tennessee?
Yes.
That's why I picked. I love the sound effect there. So,
hey, late pivot. Is that possible, Eli? Do you guys want to move to the marmot? Because it feels very Eli-esque here. So, anybody?
So that was kind of the point here. Now, I revealed one of the true ones, and I've given you the opportunity. Do you want to double down, go with the fridge story? Or I'm giving the opportunity. Do you want to switch to the marmot?
Look at the silence. They're afraid to be right.
I want to go marmot, but we don't have to switch.
Let's go marmot. Schwani?
Reluctantly. Because I was going to say, no, because... That would be, you know, a fun college thing that they would do.
Ooh.
Right? All right, let's stay with the refrigerator.
That would be real.
Let's go fridge.
And I'm still leaning toward the refrigerator.
Let's go against AI. I like that.
All right, we're going refrigerator. We're staying with it.
Well, I like where your head's at. Why don't we take it out to L.A. and see what's going down with the marmots?
Yes.
Great call from all of you to stick with the fridge story. That was fake. There is no true evil fridge out there that's judging you based on your grocery habits.
There will be, though, I'm sure.
Hopefully one day that becomes our reality. But yes, well done. Well sniffed out for all of you to not only get my tactics of extra writing, reverse psychology, all the head games.
You really do make it tricky.
I can't believe we got it this week.
I mean, I think the storyline here is the way we work together to solve the problem. That was some serious problem solving by us.
We have a new A team for this game.
Yeah, I like it. That's teamwork. Carm and Schwani, two truths and Eli.
Can I take this a step further?
Yeah.
Now, where was the senior center, Eli, where the slip and slide
Dude
was?
Wants to go on a slip and slide.
Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Where Middle Tennessee State University.
Now,
is.
Last hour, Wendy, you came up with a great name for a band that would work well there. Granny Needs Her Glasses.
Grannies with Glasses.
Now, I'm already writing songs for this band.
Because you're a drummer also.
And you want to hear three prospective titles?
Yes.
Okay. Respect Your Elders, Back in the Day, and You Kids Get Out of Here.
I love that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And so does the lady in Murfreesboro, which is very hard to say. Yeah, I love it. All right, great job, as usual, Eli. I love this. Are you sure John Landecker's not going to get mad that we're taking this bit?
I always have more in the bank.
And it's your bit.
Oh, so yeah, yeah, this is mine.
All right. Have bit, will travel.
Absolutely.
All right. That was fun. Two truths and Eli. I'm saying it wrong.
You're saying it right.
Okay. I'm thinking about it too much. Is that what it is?
Yep.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then back with more things here on a Sunday morning on 720 WGN. Martha Reeves and the Vandellas right there dancing in the street. It's Wendy Snyder here on a Sunday morning. Mark Carmen is in the sports lounge today. Dave Swan in the newsroom. Eli Burke in the producer's booth. And 217 texted us and said, can you guys please talk about the Women's Professional Baseball League, who had their inaugural history-making season begin in Springfield yesterday. First time since 1954, the inaugural game tickets sold out. I am so late to the game here. I did see a league of their own that was based loosely on real life, wasn't it, Carm? With Madonna and...
Yeah, were you more Kid or were you more Dottie? Were you for the older sister who had more talent, or did you go for Kit, the fiery...
Kit.
Yeah, we were all Kit, Team Kit.
Yeah, absolutely. So Women's Pro Baseball League, WPBL, and they have not played since when?
Well... I think you just underlined it, right? I'm a little behind here too, but one of the stories that coming out of here, Wendy, Monet Davis, 12 years ago, she was the first girl to win a game and throw a shutout in the Little League World Series, which was a really cool story back in, 12 years ago. And now, yesterday, she scored the first run in the top of the first. She's playing center field for Los Angeles. So, that's just a cool story of somebody who stuck with it, played in the Little League World Series, took on the boys, now playing, and as you just said, in the WPBL. 4,000 people. It was a little rainy yesterday, too. Didn't stop the crowd, which is an awesome story.
It really is. It was played at Robin Roberts Stadium in Springfield. They have a 30-game season, playing seven-inning games, and... The Peaches, the region's
Rockford.
Most... Yeah, that was the Rockford Peaches.
The movie's right.
And that inspired the film A League of Their Own with Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell and Lori Petty. Springfield was chosen for the 2026 launch because it is considered a historic birthplace of professional women's baseball, hosting the first paid women's game between the Blondes and the Brunettes in 1875. I knew none of this.
Yeah, apparently the last time was 1954. That was the conclusion of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, the AAGPBL. But here we are, raising the bar. Which, by the way, women's sports is just taking off everywhere, so why not? Let's go.
Yeah, I just can't believe it was gone for so long. I can't believe it's back.
Did you play baseball as a kid?
No, I was a basketball player. See,
I mean, I think that would be the issue here. Like, how many girls really play baseball when they're growing up? And, I mean, Little League in general, I think, is a little bit down because most kids are playing soccer and basketball nowadays.
Yeah, I played 16-inch softball, but that just really entailed, I was the pitcher and I drank beer. That was really it. And I never broke a finger from the 16-inch clincher. So that's good news.
Were you like 13 playing this, or what are we talking about?
No, when I worked at Brookfield Zoo.
Oh, okay.
So I was, I don't know, 20, over 21, not
fair.
Really. And all the departments played against each other, and then we all went to a bar afterwards with our fake IDs. It was very fun. All right, so this listener, 217, is just really giving me so much information. I said we'll be talking about it. They also mentioned we heard Martha Reeves with her Vandellas. There was some kinks in the programming, according to listener 217, and a rain delay. but it did get off the ground, and Martha Reeves sang the national anthem, and she is amazing. I'm such a big fan. We have a little clip of her singing the anthem.
Yeah.
God bless you, Martha. Martha Reeves. Oh, you guys.
Carm, your face.
Hey, put your best foot forward out there. 85 years old. Let's go.
I know. And Maybelle Blair, a 99-year-old former All-American Girls Professional Baseball League pitcher, threw out the ceremonial first pitch. This Eli, your job's in jeopardy because this listener from 217 is going to be producing the show from now on.
Give me a run for my money.
I know. And as I understand it, according to this listener, they may be playing their first year here in Springfield, all the games, because they don't have home stadiums, but that may change in the second year. So anybody who wants to come and see them can come to Springfield. This is going to be a really dumb question. We have an Illinois team, don't we?
We sure do.
Okay, none of us know this.
We have a pro softball team, not in the WPBL. The Chicago Bandits are a softball team. But in the Women's Pro Baseball League, there's just four teams. They're based out of Boston, L.A., New York, and I think San Francisco.
That's right, four teams.
We need to get one from Illinois. I mean,
you want to sponsor it? Let's go.
No. No, I don't at all. I'll bet that Martha Reeves' anthem sounded better there. Don't you think? Sometimes when you just record. There are people that maybe should stop singing, and God love her. I have so much respect for her.
What about this? Just sometimes it's so bad, it's good. Like, it was, I mean, come on.
That one will be remembered forever.
Yeah. 815. Good Lord, my cat ran for cover. 773, make it stop. My dog is howling. Oh, Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha.
I mean, I would listen to that every time, and I would applaud. But objectively, despite the text that I'm getting right now, that, you know, come on. It's not, we don't have to act like it was good. Great effort.
But yeah, great effort, okay? It did get better at the end. When I came in this morning, Eli played it, and I was like, oh, no. And he goes, wait, it gets better.
It was like the backup singers drop out. Martha has her moment.
Oh, my word. All right, well.
People still go see Bob Dylan. He's terrible.
No, he is not.
Oh, he's terrible.
You know who is, though? And we're going to play this later on today. Listen, I'm the biggest Van Halen fan ever in the world. Jimmy Mack and I took the boys to see Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's last performance with the band. It was in Tinley Park. Diamond Dave was singing, but boy, he should stop singing. And coming up later, before we get out of here at 1, you will hear something to make Martha Reeves sound wonderful. So stick around. We're going to talk TV with Alex Zalbin next, but Shwani has your news right now, 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here, and our television man, he is entertainment journalist Alex Zalbin, host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Wendy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I did a promo earlier this week to say that we were going to talk about Ted Lasso coming back, because he gave us so many inspirational and motivational sayings. I'm looking forward to this. Now, here's my question. I thought it was over. They wrapped it up, put a big bow on it, and it ended pretty wonderfully.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. It is back for a fourth season, but I agree with you. It ended pretty conclusively, but they never announced that it was the series finale, and that was part of design. Jason Sudeikis, reportedly, there was a big story that came out, I want to say it was the Hollywood Reporter, where he talked about how he was done with it. He said what he needed to say in the main role of Ted Lasso, but you didn't want to like completely put a pin with it, and everybody else involved would always ping him and be like, take all the time you need, but we would love to come back. Let's do it again. So they apparently assembled a writer's room, talked about a bunch of different spin-off ideas. Maybe they would have Roy Kent played by Brett Goldstein coast a women's team. Maybe they would do something in America. There are a bunch of different ideas thrown around. But apparently Sudeikis kept coming around to, well, I actually might have a little more to say about Ted Lasso, the character. And so, indeed, we have a fourth season that's coming back to Apple TV this Wednesday. New episodes are going to roll out weekly. Without getting into any spoilers, I've seen the first four episodes, and I think it's a wonderful return to form for the series. Most of the original cast members are back. Most importantly, Jason Sudeikis is back as Ted Lasso. Hannah Waddingham, who I know you love.
Oh, she's just a package, man.
Amazing. As Rebecca Welton, we've also got Jeremy Swift as Leslie Higgins, the sort of befuddled assistant kind of to Rebecca. Juno Temple is back as well as Brett Goldstein. However, the focus of the new season turns from the men's team in Richmond in England to a entirely new women's team. So most of the folks, at least again, what I've seen in the new episodes on the men's team are not there. They're not in the episode.
No Jamie Tartt?
No Jamie Tartt, unfortunately. Oh. You have to watch Rooster on HBO if you want your Phil Dunster fixed. But the new cast is great as well, and it's interesting how they've pivoted the show. There's a lot more focus on the Rebecca and Keeley characters as women who are championing this women's team, dealing with the misogyny of football fans. While Ted Lasso actually takes a little bit of a step back because he doesn't know how to deal with that. So, well worth watching. If you're a Ted Lasso fan, if you want to be inspired again, that's going to be back on Apple TV starting Wednesday. Feels like no time has passed, but it has been 3 years.
I can't believe it's been that long, Alex. And a core motto for staying positive against the odds: I believe in hope. I believe in belief. And I'm very glad that I'm staying positive against the odds, because when I heard it was coming back, I was worried it would have jumped the shark a little bit, but you're saying no.
Yeah, I think that was the general feeling, you know, not to walk through the entire history of Ted Lasso, and just, I should have mentioned this up front, but for anybody who hasn't watched it, it is about Jason Sudeikis' character. He's an American football coach who gets recruited by a British football team. As you may be aware from the World Cup, those are different sports. So he doesn't really know what he's doing as first, so it's a little bit of a fish out of water comedy, but like you're saying, Wendy, it was much deeper than that, and the sort of show that would make you laugh hysterically and then have a tear of hope and joy in your heart at the end. But by the time you got to the third season, it got in its own head a little bit. Episodes would often stretch longer than an hour. They were maybe not that funny and often a little conceptual. So I do think, not everybody, but some people turned against the show a little bit. I certainly didn't love it as much by the end as I did at the beginning, but they've taken a very back to basics approach here. It feels like the sort of comedy that maybe they needed a little time to get past whatever they needed to get past without getting too much into celebrity gossip and behind the scenes drama, and move forward with something that is just a really good hangout comedy with some great actors that potentially could last 10, 20 seasons at this point.
Wow. Doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. You know that, Alex. Be a goldfish, meaning you should have a short memory for mistakes and move on. Be curious, not judgmental. And I was curious about Martha Reeves, who did we have the professional women's baseball team that their inaugural game was in Springfield yesterday. Can we play a little of that Martha Reeves for Alex? Because, you know, she was great. I got a text saying that I'm being very rude because she's not singing well. I was just curious, not judgmental. You don't have any glass around, do you, Alex? Just a little more.
Yeah,
Almost there. I just need you to hear this, Alex. Here it comes. Get ready. Get ready, Alex. Again, a Ted Lasso quote for Martha Reeves, be curious, not judgmental. And another one, taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse. If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're probably doing it wrong.
So. There you go. Listen, I can't carry a tune. She's 85 years old.
I know.
So
God bless
shouts
her.
Shouts to her.
I know. And I mean, listen, I'm not making fun of her. It's just, come on, people who are sending me these mean texts, you have ears, don't you? I can't do anything about that. All right. I want to talk about the Shards. I don't know anything about this other than I think I want to watch this.
So this is a new, this is two notorious guys getting together. It is Ryan Murphy, notorious producer, is creating a show based around the book by Bret Easton Ellis, who people probably know from American Psycho and other things. This is based on his book, The Shards, which is kind of a semi-autobiographical novel about him growing up in high school. It is being, just to be clear, being made into a new show that's going to be on FX and FX on Hulu, premiering this Wednesday with weekly episodes, if I recall correctly. But the thing about it, without getting into too many spoilers, is it kind of imagines what if Bret Easton Ellis was learning to be a writer in high school, but also kind of was in American Psycho at the same time. So it's exactly the sort of wild, weird mix of hot people having sex and serial killers that Ryan Murphy loves so much with his true crime stuff like Monster, but also shows like American Horror Story and others. So if you are a fan of the producer and a fan of Bret Easton Ellis, this either seems like a match made in heaven or match made in hell, either way. But actually, two episodes are going to be premiering on August 5th. And then two episodes on the 12th, one on the 19th, and two on the 26th, leading into the finale. So that should be a wild one to watch. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but always worth watching Ryan Murphy, even if it goes off the rails, which it usually does.
I got to check that out. And I want to share something with you. Last week we were talking about true crime documentaries. I'm sorry, I watched the Netflix special, The Idaho Murders, College Nightmare, and I was kind of surprised. It was done very well. Mm-hmm. It's three episodes. It really talks about this horrifying murder of the four University of Idaho students. And it shows you interviews with their family members, the police, and how they were affected by all this. They really did a good job with it.
Well, like we were talking about last week, one of the things that's a hard line to walk for anybody, but I think particularly for these sort of documentaries that, as far as I've read and you are saying that I've heard about the Idaho murders, is you need to be centering the victims, not the perpetrators of the crimes. That's how you do things responsibly, is to give them the voice that they never had versus just saying, look how shocking this is. Isn't this shocking? Having some sort of takeaway, having some sort of point of view on this crime is the thing that can potentially elevate it.
One of the best parts, I thought, was in, they had, I'm not going to say his name. Part of it is they're not going to mention his name anymore, the killer. Mm-hmm. So they had the killer in the courtroom and the family members were able to speak to him. And, it was enlightening. The Gonsalves family really went after him. And it helped them move along. It really was done in a very tasteful manner, which I'm happy about. And it's definitely worth watching. It's like the number one thing on Netflix right now. The Idaho Murders College Nightmare.
They're all huge, and yeah, they'll keep making them. Hopefully they keep making them responsibly, like this one versus the other option, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, that's what I mean. I watch such crap sometimes with these true crime things that I was happy to see they did it tastefully. So yeah. I wanted to share that with you. We're going to take a quick break and continue talking TV with our television man. He's Alex Zalbin. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. What are you watching? Wendy Snyder here. It's a Sunday morning, and we have Alex Zalbin on the line with us. So Futurama, I started watching that show, and I kind of trailed off a long time ago. It's back, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually been back for a while, and I do think it is one of those shows that goes away, comes back, goes away, comes back. We actually talked to Billy West, who does the couple of voices on the show for my podcast a couple of weeks back, and even he is surprised how many times this show has returned. But yes, it is coming back on August 3rd, which is tomorrow, to Hulu with 10 new episodes. There's going to be two on premiere day, and that's going to be rolling out weekly. If you've never checked it out, it's basically a sci-fi version of The Simpsons that parodies a lot of stuff in the world of today and tomorrow. It's very silly and ridiculous. There's a lobster man doctor. There's a spaceship that delivers packages. They have robots and other things. So, yeah, it's been back for, this is the fourth season on Hulu. There's going to be more episodes. If you're curious, you can probably just jump right in and check them out now.
All right, let's go to other animated things. Star Wars is this animated anime. What's the difference?
Sure. So anime is the look of stuff usually from Japan, Korea, China, etc. There's a little bit of a different pacing. You have different creators. There's been a couple of mini-series anthologies that Star Wars has done where they've thrown the idea of Star Wars out to these anime creators and said, do what you will. Just go crazy. Don't worry about the saga or the movies or anything. So they created a bunch of shorts. One of them, called The Ninth Jedi, appeared in two seasons, and now it's being given its own showcase, extended showcase, called Star Wars Visions Presents The Ninth Jedi. There are going to be 8 episodes that are going to be on Disney Plus and Hulu on August 5th. And it just feels like fresh eyes on Star Wars. There's some good lightsaber action, lots of space battles. If you're a Star Wars fan and you've tuned out because it's become a little complicated in the live action, this is a great thing to check out. You don't really need to know anything. Just watch the 8 episodes and enjoy.
Of course, my husband is a Star Wars fan and does a podcast, Rebel Force Radio. And it's kind of, first of all, Star Wars fans are so loyal to Star Wars, and they're loyal and they're building, because all these new innovations of Star Wars, you can jump in at any time, and I kind of like it. I'm not a big Star Wars lover, but I love that you can start watching something and you don't have to know the whole lore of the whole beginning. Right?
Yeah, I think they got a little in their heads about some of that stuff with the movies. So, excuse me, particularly with the TV stuff and things like the Star Wars Visions series that they've been doing, excuse me, are great. They are welcoming new fans, and that's what you want.
Yeah, that is definitely what you want. Let's finish up animation, because Batman has been around as long as, longer than Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah, there's a second season of Batman Caped Crusader on Prime Video now. If back in the day you watched Batman the Animated Series, which is generally considered one of the best animated series of all time, and certainly the best Batman animated series, this is from one of the creators of that show, Bruce Timm. He took a look at it and said, oh, here's a couple of the things that Fox didn't let us do for kids back in the day. let's do them now that we have a streaming budget and we have the lack of restrictions that streaming brings. So it doesn't get too extreme. You're not going to see full frontal Batman nudity or anything like that. But it does get, yes, but it does get a little violent. They reinvent a bunch of the bad guys throughout. And all 10 of those episodes of the second season are on, including a new take on the Joker that's somehow even darker and more disturbing, as well as some favorites like the Riddler and Mad Hatter and others.
Holy Batpole. I'm glad we won't see it. I watched Obsession last night. I loved it. Have you seen that?
I have. It is absolutely lived up to the hype, which I was really surprised about. I ended up watching it at home on streaming like you, I assume. And
Yeah, is it supposed to be funny? Because it's freaky, creepy, scary, and I laughed out loud so many times.
So the director-creator of it is this guy named Curry Barker, who started in sketch comedy, mostly on TikTok. That's sort of where he gained fame, but also on YouTube as well. And if you watch any of the sketches that he was in, they're surreal, they're weird, they're funny. This is definitely overall more serious, but it's definitely a comedy, and it's funny, and Indy Navarette, who plays the main female character, is so good in it.
Oh, my God.
incredible. For anybody who doesn't know, I mean, without spoiling too much of it, because kind of one of the joys of the movie is the discovery, is there's this guy has a crush on one of his best girlfriends, and he finds this thing called One Wish Willow that allows you to have one wish, and in a moment of frustration, he wishes that his friend loved him more than anybody else in the world.
Careful what you wish for. Let's just say
that. It's a monkey's paw situation for sure, and it gets gross and spirals out from there. Has some really shocking, violent moments, but like you said, it's mostly about relationships. It definitely doesn't... I've seen some people talk about it as like a fatal attraction, but it really doesn't let the male character off the hook at all. I kind of would say he's the villain of the piece. But great performances, very funny, beautifully shot as well.
Yeah, Freaky Nikki is amazing. And
so good.
I think tonight we're going to watch Back Rooms, because that's what we're going to do. Did you see that?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I've been holding off seeing that until I have a chunk of time to actually sit down and watch it. But that's another one. It's just... it's great to see movies like Obsession and Backrooms organically become sensations on their own in theaters. When you've got these young filmmakers who are coming with very specific visual perspectives, and you know, you've seen it with both of them. I've seen people like Steven Spielberg called out Obsession. It was like, whoa, that movie was so cool, which is great. It's inspiring every generation.
Wendy, does Alex know if Resident Evil Alien will ever return? I love that show. The cast, especially Alan, I can never say his name right.
Tiddick.
Yes.
No, unfortunately, that is over and done with. You can watch every season of that show on Peacock right now. You can stream it. But yeah, they conclusively wrapped it up at the fourth season.
Yeah, I was late to the Resident Alien party, but I really enjoyed it. And he is so funny. I'm still trying to get through the Larry David show, which with his
Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness.
Yes, and his somewhat his tribute to America. That's the wrong word. I laugh. It's Larry David. So if you don't like him, that's what he wants. I mean, he's hateable, let's just say, instead of lovable. There are some really funny parts, star-studded like crazy, but there are some moments that I really laugh, and there are some moments that it's like, really? I just thought it would be funnier, I think.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He started, or at least middled, in sketch comedy for a while, so he certainly knows what he's doing with it, but definitely the show seems a little more miss than hit, but there are some hits in there.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm still watching Big Brother. I know I told you I was going to give up on it. Julie Chen Moonves, a bunch of people living in a house. It's more of a social experiment. Everyone on this show, the poor girl from Chicago got knocked out very early, and I hate all the people in the house, and I hate watch it all the time, and I'm enjoying it. I hate to say that.
That's how it works. That's how they get you with the reality TV, is you're sucked in, and particularly with something like Big Brother, where they have the cabs on 24 hours, there's more than enough drama to pull out there.
Yeah, definitely. I cannot find this text. Here it is. Will there be more of the capture? I'm sorry. I don't know what the capture is. Hopefully you do.
That was a thriller series. It was on BBC One. I know that. I don't know, actually. I know there's three series. I'm not sure. That's one I'm not totally familiar with, and I apologize about it. The third series did come out recently, but it's also, since it's a BBC One, they kind of make it whenever they get around to having a story. So potentially it could come back, but also potentially it could come back in another 4 years. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, because seriously, this is when a British soldier is charged with a crime. The tenacious young detective handling his case begins to uncover a conspiracy. That's what the capture is.
Yeah, I would recommend to your listener, if they are missing the capture, maybe they want to check out Slow Horses on Apple TV. That is a show that has a lot of British cast members, and it comes back yearly like clockwork. There's going to be a new season in September. And that's also a spy thriller that's tense and funny and weird. So one of my favorite shows.
And what's that called?
Slow Horses.
Perfect. Entertainment journalist Alex Zalbin. I'm sorry,
that's my new
Alex.
Name. I'm sticking with it.
Nope, Zalbin, host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. It's been running for 20 years. You can find Alex Zalbin at comicbookclublive.com. It's really Alex Zalbin. And thank you so much once again.
Thank you, Wandy.
Bye. News is now from the North. Western Medicine Newsroom. I can't wait. It's Wendy Snyder here. I got to actually fill in for Andy Mazur with Hamp and OB, and it was a memorable day. Actually, it was the first time things went crazy at a Bears game.
It was the first of many kind of miracle finishers.
Yes.
Or one of many miracle finishes the Bears saw. You were here when the Bears went to Cincinnati and played the Bengals, had a late lead in that one, blew it, found themselves trailing late before Caleb found Colston Loveland, who were banging off a couple defenders, found his way into the end zone to win that game. And we just kind of got used to getting that miracle finish week after week.
It was crazy. That's when I became president of the Colston Loveland fan club.
Absolutely.
And Hamp was in the studio. OB, I think it was the other way around. But Hamp comes in here and he's like, wait, what happened on my walk over here? And it happened live as we were on the air.
Yeah, the Bears were up 15 points, I think it was, with like 2 minutes to go. And we had loaded into the studio here ready to start the postgame show. We were going to start it early. We were all in a good mood. And then by the time we sat down ready to go, the Bears were losing, which was hard to explain in and of itself, because how did it happen so fast? And then before we were even ready to change all of our topics to, oh no, the Bears lost, they flipped it right back around. So what a whirlwind of emotions that was for your first Hamp and OB shift.
I know, first and only. I mean, I'll do it again. I just didn't, you know. That might have been the first time I met you too, Eli.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, and look at us now.
Who would have thought?
Mark Carmen, I've known you a long time. And I've been hearing you talk about Bears Camp. I'm president of the Loveland Fan Club. How's he doing?
He's doing great, Wendy. He's high-pointing the ball, looking very comfortable with Caleb, getting it all over the training camp practice field. You should come out. Why don't you come see Colston in person? We can find you a ticket.
They did the lottery. I have a couple of girlfriends that have gone in the past. They don't bring their kids. They just go, and they loved it. We couldn't get together this year to go, but it's a fun time.
It is a good time. And
although you're working it, you know.
Yeah, but I say hello. I gotta show the face around there and let people see the amazing work that I'm doing and just grinding it out on the daily at Hallis Hall.
They know it.
You know, so. But yeah, no, Loveland looks good. The Bears look good. I think, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the team, and rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a White Sox fan. It was hard to be a White Sox fan for a while. Now it's not so hard anymore. The Cubs are doing fine. whatever. Cubs fans, go for it. The White Sox are young. The Bears are young. I think last year just changed our opinion where we're so excited to wear our Bears jerseys again.
Yeah, last season was the greatest Bears season in many people's lives.
Yeah.
Certainly ones that were, you know, don't remember 1985, that's for sure. I mean, there was the Super Bowl season and all that, but last year was just a ton of fun. And you got Ben, you got Caleb, year two, year three. Why would we take any excitement off the table here, so to speak?
And Caleb's ready to roll.
Caleb is ready to roll. He had a little bit of a rough day yesterday. The defense won the day. It was Kobe Bryant, who's one of their new free agent acquisitions. Wendy, get to know that name.
Well, everybody knows that name. It's spelled differently, I know.
No, there you go. You're on top of it. Okay, fair enough. You know, he picked him off yesterday. A bunch of defenders got their hands on some deflections. Jack Sanborn, my guy Jalen Johnson. So, but Caleb is. Yeah, if you look at Caleb right now to where he was at this time last year, night and day.
Well, I'm anxious to, of course, see Caleb's performance, which I think is going to be great this season. But it was fun to listen to Ed Obradovich change his view on Caleb throughout the season.
We're still working on it with him.
I know, it's changed a little.
We're getting there.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
OB is the greatest and my hero, and he's just not used to positive things happening to the franchise. It's going to be an adjustment for him and a lot of Bears fans.
What do we need to know? And I, you know, don't say anything if this is going to get you in trouble over at Hallis Hall, but where are the Bears going to end up, do you think?
Oh, we're talking stadium. I was actually thinking about it yesterday. It's interestingly quiet right now. We haven't heard much. So, who knows what's going on as far as Arlington Heights and the politics behind the scene to try to get this done. Indiana, they've been waiting for the Bears to say yes. And at some point, there's going to be some level of deadline put on it. But right now, the Bears are doing their due diligence on if they can build there, what it looks like, how much is it going to cost. They're checking out a second site. They want to keep the golf course, which is originally where they were going to put it on Wolf Lake, but they like the concept. If they're actually going there, let's leave the golf course because maybe that'll make things more appealing. I don't know if you're considering moving over there, Wendy. They're going to try to make it as nice as possible for you or anybody else who would consider it.
I have friends who are season ticket holders, and I just don't know. I don't know how I'd feel if I was spending all that money to go see the Bears games. There's something to be said for being at the lakefront, but
you want the hot take that will get me in trouble? It's not really a hot take.
Oh, I don't want to get you in trouble, so don't.
Well, I won't get in trouble. I'm kidding mostly, but. I do wonder for Bears fans that don't go to the games, right? Which is most Bears fans.
Yeah.
You watch at home. You enjoy your Sundays or whenever they play with your family or your friends or by yourself because you're a diehard football fan and you can't be interrupted. I think it's probably better for those fans if you live in Illinois for them to go to Indiana and let them take on the tax burden of doing the whole deal. If you don't go. Now, if you live in Arlington Heights and you're this Bears fan that's, you know, super excited and you're going to be going, the Northwest suburbs period. I get it. But other than that, like, does it really matter if you're not somebody that goes to the games? It doesn't.
No, but I feel like I don't think we've taken the boys to a Bears game ever. So then I thought,
well, that's the other side. So you
should,
right? So you'll make one trip over to beautiful Hammond, and
no, I won't.
You won't take your if you want to take your boys, you'll do it.
It's yeah, some, I would
you,
do it.
You would do it. Come
it's
on,
it's not that far. What, an hour?
Depending on where you're coming from. If you're leaving from here, good old WGN Studios, it's closer than Arlington Heights.
Yeah. I just want the Bears to win. I would love it if the Cubs, Sox, Bears, and Blackhawks all start kicking butt. That would be the greatest thing ever, wouldn't it?
Well, the Blackhawks are coming up. They got Patrick Kane back.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, and the Bulls have the best hope for that they've had in forever, and Caleb Wilson. Caleb and the Bears. Pete Crow Armstrong, it's been, you know, this town is used to having big-time names. We haven't had one for It's been a while. It's like a decade in my mind. Yeah. It's what it feels like, at least. So this, we're finally turning the corner here in the sports world.
All right. And I have a correction. Last week I was saying I was so excited Patrick Kane was coming back. And I'm like, oh, he's totally the GOAT of Chicago, behind Michael Jordan. I forgot Walter Payton, and I shouldn't have. So I got to throw that out there. An addendum.
No problem.
To my GOATs.
Go 34.
Yep.
Shout out Jarrett Payton.
I know. Yeah. I love you, Jarrett. JP, call in if you're listening. We would love to say hello.
There you go.
All right, Carm. Thank you. Any special things that happened that we should know about? Any new players that I should start being president of their fan club?
Do you like Kyle Manungai?
Yes. Yeah. God, I love him.
Yeah, well, he's been missing from practice for the last 3 days, and the media, myself included, we did a bad job of not asking Ben Johnson where he was in the one day last week when we could have. So I assume I don't have the schedule for this week when Ben's talking, but there's a little concern about Manungai because he's not a guy that misses practice, but hopefully he'll be fine because he is a Manungai, and we need that guy because he's one of the more just on-point, solid contributors to the squad. So that's one piece of news.
How tall is he? Because he's
5 foot two. He's very
no. He's not that short.
5'7".
But he is because he's five, when nine, I probably. Was part of the fun of doing the Hamp and OB show was sitting there watching the game with them, and I'm like, what a little fire plug! I felt like an old man hanging with them. But he is just this little
5'8" is how he's listed, by the way.
All right, because he is amazing. I love watching him.
Never fumbled once in his college career. Kind of like Brett Jackson over in engineering. That guy was a dynamic player on the football field.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did he play football?
He did.
Really?
He did. Yeah. Everything on his body fell apart. So, you know.
Natural athlete over there.
Unlike Manungai, who's still going.
But. All right, Brett, I apologize. I didn't know any of this. We'll talk later. We'll talk football. We're going to take a quick break and then more to come. Oh, I have some more audio that I'd like to play of people who should not be singing. That's coming up. It's Sunday morning on 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here with you. It's a Sunday morning on 720 WGN Radio. Big Van Halen fan. Diamond Dave, David Lee Roth, original member of the band. And then Sammy Hagar took over for a while, and Van Hagar had a different sound, okay? David Lee Roth really did a great job fronting the band, and he had some bad words to say about Wolfgang, Eddie Van Halen's son, just kind of saying that he is popular just because of his dad, and that's not true. He's a great musician, and he seems like a wonderful guy. Plus, who doesn't love Valerie Bertinelli? I mean, he's half of her. And now David Lee Roth is out doing a tour. Somebody just texted and said they saw him in Indiana recently. Diamond Dave is great. He still looks sort of okay in spandex, but he really should maybe stop singing. That is not a Van Halen song. He's mugging for the audience. He's got a bunch of musicians behind him. Ooh, I'm talking over that. I mean, come on. I got to hear a little more. And they put the reverb on him to make it even continue longer. He has these guys behind him who are singing the melody. And I don't know. Listen, no disrespect, okay? Honest to God, big fan. And Martha Reeves, who we played earlier, who sang the national anthem at the Women's Pro Baseball League. inaugural opening in Springfield yesterday. I know as you get older, you don't sound as good as you used to. But at some point, I think you have to put the microphone down. Is it just me? Anyone else have thoughts on this?
It just seems like if you have like a great finish, like don't do anything to like tarnish that, or like if you have like such like a lasting legacy, like kind of like leave it alone in a way.
But. Yeah, and I know that these people want to perform. I get it, but I don't know what happened to auto-tune.
So would you like to see like Arlo Guthrie? Still, are you on?
Yeah. Listen, Bob Dylan still sounds pretty good. Bob Dylan, some people would say never sounded good.
See, I love Bob Dylan.
Me too.
And I think he sounds generally terrible now, but I would still go. Like, Mark Knopfler is my favorite from Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah.
He's 76, and he's apparently never going to tour again, even though he's still putting out, or at least he put out a CD or an album, whatever. They're not CDs anymore. You get it. Like 2 years ago, I'm like begging for the guy to do, come on, one more run, let's go.
Leave the people wanting more.
But that's what he's doing.
Yeah, but I understand it's hard to leave the people wanting more. I mean, they lived this for a long time, so I completely get it. And I was listening to the Dave Plyer show, and he was talking to Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, of course, Chicago's treasure. And Dave said something about, oh, there are some of these bands out there that there's only one original member. What's that like? And Billy Corgan said, I'm not going to really comment on that because at one point I was the only Smashing Pumpkins member on stage. And Billy said something that really made sense to me. We go to shows because we just want to hear the music. We want to hear the music that we grew up with, that we like so much. And I get it. If it doesn't sound perfect, like David Lee Roth right there, I'd probably still enjoy it being there live. But there is a thing called the internet and social media, and we're gonna hear this stuff.
Like if Kim Carnes was at Lollapalooza to sing Betty Davis Size for you, right? And she's 81 for the record. Would you go just because she's doing that?
Yeah, I
right.
I see. I understand that. I know a lot of our. I mentioned earlier in the show. I am very not hip. I'm not into new music. I should be. I should open my mind and open my ears. But I like classic rock, and a lot of our classic rockers. How old's Mark Knopfler now?
70. He'll be 77 August 12th.
And what is Mick? Like 80 something.
Mick's not human. The guy's unbelievable.
but Mick still sounds great.
Isn't Mick just like recently another? Didn't he become a dad again? He's 83.
I don't know. I think actor Tony Randall, still holds the medal for fathering a child in your 90s. I can't remember the oldest dad around, but. Somebody said they saw Stevie Wonder last year, and he sounded great. He's Stevie Wonder. Rick Springfield still has it going on at 77. And, you guys, I also saw some video on social media of Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band, and he sounds great. He's put on a few pounds. I think he calls himself KFC in the Sunshine Band. He like has fun with it, but he still sounds good. And I mean, when you have a voice, you have to keep that instrument in tune.
Lionel Richie is, how old is he? 77. He'll be at the United Center September 29th, Wendy. I'm in if you're in. No, not a Lionel Richie.
Say you, say me. I mean, yes, I appreciate him. I just...
Oh, dancing, not say you, say me. That's like, depressing. Give me an all night long out of nowhere.
All
give
night
me a dance,
long.
Give me
all
a dance.
Yeah, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you going to be up and dancing?
How about maybe I'll bust out easy with, you know, like...
Easy on. Like a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Pat Benatar's still rocking.
I'd kill for some... I'd love to go see Pat Benatar. Come on.
Yeah. Tom Jones, incredible. Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not hating on Martha Reeves. I respect her. It's just, I felt a little bad for her. And sorry, it was good radio.
We said that we'd love to listen to her sing it again today. Pat Benatar, by the way, August 16th in Milwaukee.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
All right.
73.
Grandpa and Grandma should go to a show. We'll bring our foldable lawn chairs.
Have you thought of any more songs for your band?
No.
Granny Needs Her Glasses?
I think it's, I don't even remember what it was. Granny Needs Glasses. I can't remember.
Pat Benatar's playing the Fiserv Forum. That's like the United Center, Milwaukee. I mean, that's amazing.
And this listener is right, and that is amazing, Carm. 224, I think the bar for Hamina. I think the bar for performing should be William Shatner. He's 95 and will be at Riot Fest in September. So 95. God, I hope I make it to 70. I really do. All right, news right now. And then if you have plant questions, indoor plants only, Tanner Mitchell, a.k.a. Tanner the Planter, coming up next after Shawnee's News, 312-981-7200. We are going to let it grow here today on WGN Radio. It's Wendy Snyder here, and joining us for a return appearance, Tanner Mitchell, you know him better as Tanner the Planter. Tanner, how are you?
Oh, Wendy, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have been enjoying watching your 30 days of houseplants, teaching us all about different houseplants. They are all featured in your book, For the Love of Houseplants. I'm telling you, you have made owning plants fun, easy, and rewarding for me.
You know, I always say that's the only reason to keep them, right? Houseplants, you can't eat them, so the only thing to do with them is enjoy them, right?
Absolutely. And now you guys are traveling all over the place. Are you going to Guatemala or something? What's going on with you?
Yes, ma'am. We're traveling down to Guatemala at the end of August, early September for a plant conference. And then we're going to be doing some, you know, little tourism stuff down there and vlogging the whole trip so you guys can follow along with us.
And Mrs. Tanner the Planter is all part of this, too. I love the glowing reviews you give her online. She really has helped spark you to keep Tanner the Planter rolling along, hasn't she?
Oh, she's everything. I mean, I'm just a silly guy that's in front of the camera, but Erica is really what runs the entire thing behind the scenes. And she's actually the main reason we're going to Guatemala. She lived there for a couple of years. Her family's from Guatemala. So she kind of like got this whole speaking, opportunity to go down there. And so we're just tickled.
I love it. And that's the end of August. You can download the Tanner the Planter app. They do live sales on Tuesdays and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. Central. And I like having coffee with you guys in the morning. You do that too.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, we enjoy our plant community so much. Like when we don't get to interact with our people often enough, we kind of miss it. So we started this Good Morning Plant People, which is basically like a mixed bag of chat that we do every morning on the Tanner the Planter app. We do it 6 days a week. We just don't do it on Sunday, but we have a heck of a time. It's a lot of fun.
And it is such a community. Like I said, you really sparked my love of houseplants. I work at a local plant boutique called Vagabond Botanical in LaGrange. And a couple of listeners came in yesterday when I was at work, and they're big fans of yours. Their names are Karis and Mike. And Karis texted in, now, please, please ask Tanner how to keep bugs off indoor plants. These pesky gnats are all over the place. She asked me that yesterday, and I said I would ask Tanner about that because you either have a big problem with gnats or you don't. I think I have like a few. She said she's inundated. What does she do?
Gnats come when you're watering your plants too frequently. Their whole goal in life is to lay eggs in a damp soil, in this case, and then tried to, you know, procreate that way. So what's happening is you're not letting the plants dry out enough in between watering. So you have to know that from the very get. Even your most thirsty plants, like your ferns and your peace lily and your calathea, all of those need at least the topsoil to dry out in between watering. And these bugs aren't burying their eggs really far down in. So as long as you're letting the topsoil dry out between watering, you're going to massively reduce your risk of getting those fungus gnats. So here's what you need to do. So the life cycle of a fungus gnat is about 5-ish weeks long, okay? So we got to treat them at every stage. The first stage is the adults. They're the most annoying ones. They're the ones that are flying around, getting in your nose, getting in your mouth. Get those yellow sticky traps, okay? Put one in the soil. This is just temporary while the adults are going. This is only going to be there for a few weeks. Put those yellow sticky traps in the soil. That's going to get rid of those annoying adults. Next, for the next, you know, 5 weeks, because that's the life cycle of the fungus gnat, you're going to water your plant with mosquito bit tea. Mosquito bits are fantastic for killing off mosquitoes. We use them in our outdoor, you know, seating area all the time to get rid of our mosquitoes. I'm sure you guys use them up there as well. But you can actually use the water from that mosquito bit tea and water your plant with it. Every time it needs to be watered, water your plant with that mosquito bit tea. That's going to kill off the eggs and the larvae in your soil so you don't have that repeat of the fungus gnat cycle.
That's it. So two steps, but it's a 5-week process.
Yeah, you got to keep up with it, because the biggest mistake I see people use is they only use the yellow sticky traps and they get rid of the adults. But if you've got adults, they've already laid eggs in your soil. And so it's going to be frustrating. They're just going to keep reappearing and reappearing because you're not treating the eggs and the larvae in the soil.
And you have to treat all your plants, don't you?
Just the ones that are affected with the fungus gnats. I mean, if you water with the mosquito bit tea with all of your plants during this 5 or 6 week, you know, cycle, it's not going to hurt them. So if you want to be super thorough, that's perfectly fine to do as well.
All right. And I mentioned you were going to be on with us, Tanner, and Kathy's been on hold for a while, so she has a question for you. Hi, Kathy. We have Tanner the planter on.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
So I have two Christmas cactus. They're from my grandmother, so they're like, I would bet they're over 50 years old, and the dirt's never been changed, and they haven't really been growing a lot. They bloom, but how do I repot them without killing them?
Oh, this sounds like you've got some heirloom plants here. These are some of our favorite. We find those Christmas cactus are just great to hand down from generation to generation. Here's what you want to do. So these cactus are actually tropical cactus. A lot of people make the mistake of putting them in just cactus soil because, you know, they think of them like a desert cactus, but these are actually tropical. So here's the best scenario. You want to take your plant out of the pot and measure the diameter of the root ball. So let's say the diameter of your root ball is 6 inches, right? So you would only want to increase your pot size by 1 or 2 inches. So go up to a 7 or an 8 inch pot at the very most in this scenario. And for soil, I want you to mix together at a 1-to-1 ratio, general purpose soil and cactus soil, because they are kind of semi-succulent. They do have water storage in their leaves, so you do want their soil to drain out pretty quickly. But you also have to nurture the tropical side of the plant as well, which is what the general purpose soil is for. Mix that all up, put it in there. I recommend a Bigfoot mycorrhizae as well. That's going to massively reduce your transplant shock. And then put it back in the same location, that bright light, water when it's about 25% to 50% dry.
And micro... Okay,
what was that last thing? That
mycorrhizae. I knew that caught you, Kathy. Explain what mycorrhizae is.
Mycorrhizae is a fungus. It's been symbiotic with plants for millions of years, and you're never going to see it or smell it. It doesn't cause any extra mushrooms in your soil, but it's kind of like a little plant butler. It's going to attach to the roots of your plant, and the plant and the mycorrhizae, they communicate. And so the plant is going to tell the mycorrhizae what it needs, and it's going to go out and find it. It's better at finding things because their roots, which are called like hyphae, fungus roots are called hyphae, they are able to find nutrients and water that the bigger roots of your Christmas cactus are not going to be able to access because they're too big. And so it acts like a little plant butler. It says, I need more of this. I'm feeling stressed out. I need more of this. And so the mycorrhizae is going to massively reduce your transplant shock.
Google that and find it. Go ahead, Kath.
Yeah, just how much of that stuff do I put in?
Oh, there's directions on the back of the packaging. The company Bigfoot, they make the best one out there. That's the only one that I use. You'll just sprinkle some. You can mix it in with your soil, or you can, you know, sprinkle some in the hole when you go to replant it. Just make sure it comes in contact with the roots.
Good luck, Kathy. Okay.
Thank you.
You mentioned the heirloom plants. I hear that a lot, and it's you don't want to steer someone in the wrong direction, because these plants mean the world to people, don't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the services that we have here locally in Prosper, Texas, where we are, people drop their plants off at our facility for me to repot them. And very often they are these heirloom plants, or, you know, perhaps representing, you know, they got them from a funeral or from a sentimental time in their life. So there's always a lot of pressure when those ones come through the door, but that's what we're known for, to get them over in the right soil and in the right conditions so people don't have to worry about it.
Does Tanner have a website where I can send a photo where he can tell me what I'm doing wrong with my peace lily, or can he or Wendy suggest an app that would do this for me? How do people reach you, Tanner?
Well, one of the benefits of purchasing plants from the Tanner the Planter app is we give free advice to the, you know, for our customers for the life of the plant. And so we have over 60,000 customers. So that's kind of where our troubleshooting time takes place. We can't really help troubleshoot plants that weren't purchased from us. But I do have a subscription feature on my Instagram, Tanner the Planter, where you can subscribe and then you can send me your plants from wherever you got them. You can send me the questions there.
You are amazing. We're going to take a quick break, and more people lining up. Every time I have you on, people text me early in the morning, oh, ask Tanner this. So hold tight. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. And we're coming back with Tanner the Planter on 720 WGN. We do say let it grow. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Tanner the Planter. And you can go to his website, tannertheplanter.com, find out about his app, get his book, For the Love of Houseplants. And you can call right now, 312-981-7200. Marie has a question for you, Tanner. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Wendy. Hey, Tanner. Tanner, I bought, and I've had orchids for a while, for maybe 3 or 4 years. I love them. I bought one from a reputable store, which was like a gardening shop, and I brought it home, and I noticed that the flowers on it were great for a day, and then they started dying, and I didn't pay too much attention to it, but then I found a couple weeks later, I started having an infestation on the rest of the orchids that were within that etage, within all of the place where I had those orchids. And it was like a sticky type of material on the leaves, underneath the leaves. And then I started to get that white little cotton candy growth that came on the orchids. And I looked it up, and I knew it was an infestation, so I washed them. I would bring them into the kitchen, wash them all down with dish soap, and then put them back, and then I would have to keep doing that. And I'm still noticing now that I'm getting it, so I can't get rid of it.
Are those mealybugs, Tanner?
Yeah, no, anytime you different. Have stickiness on your leaves, it's usually indicating a pest problem, because that's what they're extracting. Your plant makes sugar to live, and they want that sugar. So the pest, they all have this little like straw on their mouth. It's called a stylet. It's kind of cute, but it sticks into the leaf and it sucks out the sugar, and then it leaves these sticky deposits behind. So anytime you see stickiness on your leaves, you can always kind of assume that you've got some pests. So with the mealybugs, yeah, they can be a little bit difficult to treat. The nice thing is that they're super visual, so you can spot them pretty easily. The number one thing that I find, and it sounds like you did all the right things, you can just, especially with an orchid that doesn't have very many leaves, I actually just made a video about this on my social media a few days ago. I had some mealybugs on one of mine, and all I did was wash it off with some water, you know, kind of manually remove it. But what the tricky thing about mealybugs is that they are fantastic hiders. And so all the way down in those little nooks and crannies in the sheaths, like right where the leaves kind of attach to the base of the orchid, they'll actually nest oftentimes in there. And so it looks like out on the surface, you know, on the big parts of the leaf, that you've removed all of them, but you don't see them breeding in the little sheaths down below. Also, if it's a really bad infestation, it can actually be in the roots. So I would recommend if you've been trying for months and months to get rid of these mealybugs and they're just not going away, I would strip the whole plant away from its moss or its orchid bark, whatever you have it planted in, and make sure those mealybugs aren't in the roots as well.
Good luck, Marie.
Is there anything I can put into the roots, Tanner, any kind of something, the insecticide to put into the roots to let it go down in there to get rid of them?
Yeah, you can do a cold-pressed organic neem oil. Do not get the pre-diluted neem oils because when you mix oil with water, it's immediately less effective. And you don't know how long those have been sitting on the shelf, rendering them less and less effective. But if you get cold-pressed organic neem oil and you mix it up right there, you can actually use that as a soil drench, and that can kill off the mealybugs. I also like a product called Systemica. That's from Sierra Naturals, and they're both all organic and safe to use indoors.
Marie, good
Thank
luck
you
to
so
you.
Very much.
And you should get his book, too, For the Love of Houseplants, because whenever I have a problem with any of my plants, I just look it right up, and lo and behold, there it is. Jean is on the line. Jean, you have a question for Tanner? It's bug talk today, I think.
This is not inside, it's outside, but I have these huge pots of petunias in my front yard, and something is eating them, and I think it's coming from the soil. And I thought of trying to find a formula, but I don't have a computer right now, of like hot sauce and water. If they're chewing, you know, that would deter them. But I don't know the formula. And I could not figure out what word you were saying a few calls ago. It sounded like a T, but my ears just couldn't figure out what you were saying.
So
it was a treat.
Any hot sauce recommendations or something she could do with her petunias?
You know, I don't have any knowledge on petunias. I don't outdoor garden at all. It's much more forgiving up there in Chicago, but down in Texas, we just boil. So I keep all of my plants indoors. I generally don't recommend any of those like DIY hot sauce, banana peel, water, eggshell kind of a thing. They've largely been disproven over the years. I don't know exactly about this hot sauce one in particular, but usually these like food remedies are kind of bunk. It's always better to use like a specific product that's made for what the issue you're having.
And a garden center might be able to help you out, Gene. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Someone has texted in 708. Does Tanner have a recommendation on a good plant identifier app? That's a great question, because if people don't have access to you, Tanner, immediately, and, you know, I never text you with questions ever. I wait till you're on the air with us. But is there a good plant identifier? I just take a picture and use Google Images.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine to use. You know, whether you have iPhone or Android right now, you can actually take a picture. And then in the bottom right-hand corner, there should be a little, like, leaf. I have an iPhone, so I'm not sure what it looks like on an Android, but there's a plant identifier natively. But what I will say, with all of those apps, I just never recommend you follow the care advice of those apps. I can't tell you how many messages I get every week that start off with some rendition of, you know, this app told me to do this, and now my plant is looking terrible. What do I do? It gives, like, general information. It's just guessing. They're hardly ever correct. So I recommend staying away from the apps for that reason. But as far as identifying plants that's fine.
I have a rubber tree, says 708. Should I keep it in a window? And how much water should I give it? It cost me $89, and I don't want to kill it.
So your rubber tree is called Ficus elastica, and all of your ficus, also known as a ficus rubber tree, they're all ficus are bright light plants. So you want to give it 1,000 foot candles of light. So yes, at the very least in front of a window. The biggest mistake I see with ficus is people just not giving them bright enough light, or assuming that their best window is bright light. Get yourself a light meter that reads foot candles. I talk about this all the time in my book, and for the past 30 days, I've been making care videos on my YouTube channel and all my social media, and I actually covered the ficus. So get yourself a light meter that reads foot candles, 1,000 foot candles of light, and then you're going to water when they are 25 to 50% dry. I actually have, you know what, this is going to be good for your listeners. I have a guide to 150 plants. It's a downloadable, it's just a downloadable graphic, and it has 150 of the most popular houseplants. It's color-coded for watering and for the light, has a bunch of helpful tips for watering and lighting in the margins, because it sounds like a lot of these questions are, you know, plant-specific, but that's how, I mean, that's an easy resource to download from TannerThePlanter.com.
All right, TannerThePlanter.com, a wealth of information. Do you know what little hens and chicks are? They're little succulents that people put outside. Someone wants to know if you can grow them in the house. I don't see why
Absolutely.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah, so those are called sempervivum, which, funny enough, my wife told me, because Spanish is her first language, so it's not a direct translation, but it kind of means the same. Sempervivum means always alive or always living.
Huh.
So these plants are just tough as nails. You can grow them outside. You can grow them inside as well. Just try again to make that, you know, give them your best light, so that 1,000-foot candles of light is going to be great. And then they're succulents, so you let all of the soil dry out in between watering. An easy way to know if all of the soil in your pot is dried out, take a chopstick or a knitting needle and shove it all the way to the very bottom of your pot, so right through the soil. And if it comes out completely dry, kind of like when you're baking a cake, then it's time to give it a full soak.
That's perfect. I watch all your videos, so it's like I know this stuff, but I need to let you say it. Denise in Wisconsin, 262, would like indoor plants that don't require a lot of direct sunlight. Small windows facing northwest and southeast. I don't want to bring bugs in. What's a good source? What do you recommend? And all plants really do need light. There are some that can do okay in lower light, but what do you recommend?
You're absolutely right. And if you join us on our live sale, so you mentioned our every Saturday and Tuesday at 6:30 Central Time, my wife and I go live on the Tanner the Planter app, and we talk about the different lighting conditions and, you know, what plants are going to do well in these lower light scenarios, brighter light scenarios. We always talk about that. But if I were to give some recommendations, now, again, just like you said, these plants will tolerate low light. They're not going to thrive in low light. But here's a good list. The golden pothos, a snake plant, ZZ plant, the cast iron plant, and let me say aglaonema, or the Chinese evergreen.
That was my first plant, Tanner. Someone gave it to me like 9 years ago. And after about 6 years of neglect, I'm like, oh my God, I haven't killed it. So I then branched out to an Audrey ficus, and now I have 40 something plants. So I'm getting there.
Yeah, that seems to be how it goes, isn't it? Once you figure out how easy they are to grow, you're like, oh my God, the world is my oyster. I'm going to get them all.
Yeah, exactly. And get more at TannerThePlanter.com. You can purchase plants. They're shipped wonderfully. Get his book, For the Love of Houseplants. And just to reiterate, because people are wondering, yellow sticky traps for 5 weeks, and then mosquito bits that you make into a tea and use that water to pour on your plants for 5 weeks, and you should hopefully be gnat-free, right?
Oh, I mean, it's not a hopefully, it's a guarantee. If you follow just those two steps and you're really good about, you know, being consistent with it, use it for 5 weeks. They're going to be gone, absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Tanner. We appreciate it as always.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure, Wendy.
Thank you so much. TannerThePlanter.com. Download his app, buy his book. Honest, he knows so much about every plant out there. And Dave Schwann knows so much about the world, and we're going to hear his news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That for Carm, because he's a big Mark Knopfler fan. Who isn't? These are my high school years. Dire Straits, REO, Bob Seger. It's Wendy Snyder here, and it's Sunday afternoon. Dave Schwann is in the newsroom. And Schwanny, I want to ask you a question, and Eli's here too. Do you guys tip when you go pick up a pizza yourself?
I haven't done that in a while, but not usually, no.
I just need to do like a quick little poll.
If there's a jar there, you may throw in a couple of bucks or something like that. But if I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I haven't done that in a long time.
Why haven't you done that in a long
time? Because I live close to a place, a neighborhood place that has great pizza, and I just go over there and eat it there.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
By the slice?
Pretty much. Or you can get a 12-inch size pizza, and what I don't finish, I take home.
Yeah, that's smart.
And eat it later.
So do you call ahead and order your pizza so then when you come in, it's ready and you can sit down and eat? Or do you just order it there?
I order it there because I generally can't make up my mind what I want.
Eli, do you tip when you go pick up a pizza yourself?
I think I'm with Schwani where if I'm going to pick it up more often than not, I'm not as willing to, not necessarily willing, I don't find myself tipping as much if I'm doing most of the work to go and get it. Obviously, I'm tipping like the people who are making the food, and if there's good service going on, I'll throw some money in the jar. But like, it's not like I'm feeling the obligation to throw an extra tip if I'm going to pick up the food.
I don't know how I feel about this. We have a pizza place that I love close to our house. We usually do delivery just because it's easier. And when you do delivery, you pay a delivery fee and then you tip them. And I tip them usually 20%.
Well, if I get one delivered, I tip the driver.
Delivery always gets a tip.
I know. So I just am saying this to preface it so people don't think I'm like Scottie Pippen. They used to call him no Tippin' Pippin. And he was a bad tipper, evidently. I am not. And if I order something for delivery or if I'm in a restaurant, I'm always at least 20% of the full total, not even of the pre-tax total. But when you're going to pick up a pizza yourself and you have to put shoes on and get in the car and make your son go run in and get it because you are driving around because there's no parking, I don't feel you should tip. Is that cheap of me? 312-981-7200. I need to know this because I know during the pandemic, our worlds changed and they really did. And everybody, we ordered food a lot because we have some favorite local restaurants that we wanted to help out because obviously you couldn't go out to restaurants.
Yeah, me too.
And I would tip them the full 20% because it was just, we were in a place where no one even knew if we were going to come out alive. Seriously. So I definitely took care of it then. But now if I'm going in to pick something up that I've ordered, I sometimes tip a few bucks, sometimes I don't. My son took my card. The reason I bring this up is because my name was on the credit card. And my son did not tip. And I said, I don't think you have to. I mean, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And I just, 773, you're joking, right? You pick it up, no tip. When did that start? I mean, there are tip jars everywhere now. There are some.
Well, for a long time, you'd go into a place for coffee and wouldn't tip, really. Now it's, you know, kind of anticipated and expected.
Yeah. But, all right, here's my other question. And maybe somebody who works at a pizza place or just a place where people pick up food, does the person that is handing you the food get the tip? Or... because the cooks should, you know, I don't know how it works. I know they're going to call me no tipping Pippin now because I don't tip when picking it up. 708, I don't tip anybody who's making a minimum wage or above. I only tip servers and delivery drivers.
I was talking about that earlier before the show, Wendy. A lot of like people in the food industry, they have their wages cut because tipping is such a big part of the money that they make in. So that like they, a lot of their job is relying on tips, but if they already have a wage that's above that where they're not getting like kind of like cut out for the tips, there's not as much of a kind of the need to kind of fill their wages or make sure that they get their money's worth in per se.
And I mean, I understand people thinking that way. I don't think about that. If somebody serves me, I don't know if I'm getting special service or if I'm at a restaurant, I'm tipping. I also heard if someone owns the hair salon, if they own it, they're the owner, You don't have to tip. You can, but you don't have to. 312, pickup, no tips. If I'm picking up pizza, I don't tip the cashier. So I feel like maybe I'm not alone on this. I feel bad. They're just coming in fast and fast. I don't think you have to tip, says 773. When picking up a pizza, we don't tip at the deli where we pick up food. Why for pizza pickup? All right. But see, now the more that I'm just having a moral dilemma, because when I think back to the pandemic and we ordered food for takeout, they had more work to do because they had to put it in little containers and stuff. But then again, that was their only business. Now, if you're getting, I mean, if I got a lot of food, I would tip. I don't know what to do. I'm in a quandary.
I don't know if this will help you or not at all, Wendy, but I kind of frequent many of the same places, and I've gotten to know the people by name in restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And I know the people that work there. I know the managers there. So if I would go in, especially during the pandemic, like you are saying, they were very kind to their regular customers. I gave them, you know, maybe a little extra tip.
Yeah.
You know.
And you wanted to help them stay afloat.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right. Yeah.
Would you feel the need to tip like a robot kitchen? Because we're seeing more and more of those, like the ghost kitchen where you're having like robots make your food, or it's all like contactless where you're not dealing with an actual person, but they're still asking for you to leave a tip or a gratuity at the end of your bill.
I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know about that.
All right, good. I'm glad we're in agreement there.
You have to be human to get a tip from me. There, you could put that on my tombstone.
I feel the same way about those like little delivery robots that are all over the street.
I was just going to say, those little carts that drive around.
Yeah, but those are coming from a restaurant. You know?
Yeah.
It's like if I get in a driverless car, which I will never do.
You mean either.
Because I'm a backseat driver and there's no one to backseat drive with.
I can see you in the back seat of a driverless car. Watch out for that guy on the left.
Quit tailgating. I would not tip that. You have to be human to get a tip. I don't know. Listeners, what do you think? 312-981-7200. It's tipping or not? All right. Wendy Snyder here with you. Welcome to Sunday, and we're talking tips. I feel guilted into tipping sometimes. Well, most of the time. And I just threw out the question, if you're going to pick up a pizza yourself, do you tip? I just wondered what people felt. Carol, how are you today?
Great. It's exciting to talk to you. I listen to WGN 24/7.
Oh, God love you, Carol. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you. This was just a whim. I heard you talking about that. And I go through Culver's quite a bit.
Oh, there's nothing like a butter burger, Carol.
I know. I like everything there. I mean, I just, I try to get gift cards from people so I can go to, use their money or have a nice gift. But when they bring the food out, because you have to wait a few minutes, and I always tip the person that brings the food to the car. And to me, that's...
You are so sweet.
Well, thank you.
I mean,
that's nice of you to say.
Well, that's just so nice. That is just very considerate. You know, they're just running your food out to you, and you have to wait at Culver's because they make it fresh. And
yes.
That's how much, may I ask, how much do you give them? Just like a buck or two?
A dollar.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I have small orders, but regardless of that, it could be, a big order, but I would probably give a little bit more. But just the fact that, they bring it to the car, they're always pleasant, courteous. I know some of them real well because I go there so often. And some of the different people a few times, but they're just surprised. Well, thank you. And, I don't know how often they get any tips, but I
probably never. You're probably the only one, Carol.
Well, then I'll have to up it up a little bit.
No, you don't. That is so generous of you. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening, Carol. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And this is a pleasure. I don't know what else to say.
Oh, well, call back anytime. We're here all the time.
I will.
Thank you so much. Oh, she's so sweet. See, that is what tipping is about. That is when you're supposed to tip, just like a little bonus, like, oh, here you go, here's a dollar. And then, now we feel pressured. Whenever you go somewhere, they flip the screen around, and it's like, would you like to tip? No, I really wouldn't. It just depends what it is you're tipping on. Carol is so sweet. That's awesome. Hi, Ruth. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good, Wendy. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I need some advice. Yeah. What do you think about picking up a pizza?
Well, what I think when you, like, I've in the past have stopped in and gotten pizza places, maybe if I have a little change from when I bought the pizza, I might throw it in their tip jar. But I don't feel like, since I couldn't have it delivered, I don't feel like I'm obligated to tip. And especially 20%, I would never tip 20% in a tip jar.
Yeah, I mean, that is for wait staff and people taking care of you that way, because they're serving you, they're servers, right?
Yeah, and the most I, like the lady before you, she said a dollar. Well, that might be a dollar and a quarter, whatever, that I have left from my change from the... Or did I have in my pocket if I use a charge card? But I'm not going to tip on a charge card.
All right. Well, Ruth, thank you. I feel a little better. I appreciate you calling. Dan has called us, 312-981-7200. Hi, Dan.
Hi there.
Did you pick up a pizza recently? Hello?
Hi. Frequently pick up pizza, sure.
And do you tip?
My feeling is... I mean, unless I'm really hurting for money myself, is that when in doubt, tip.
How much would you tip for picking up a $40 pizza? Which, why is it $40? But okay.
Probably, 15% or so for just a pickup. But I would do something.
All right.
People aren't they're not working back there because they're, making a big haul with their wages and benefits. So I say, when in doubt, go for it, unless it's really a hardship. I mean, but I would consider it like it's not an obligation. Everyone's talking about, are you obligated to tip? Well, not in those cases, but consider it a donation. Go for it.
All right. I like your thinking, Dan. I appreciate you calling. 815. Oh, I'm mad at you. Carol called and just sweetly mentioned how she's giving someone at Culver's who runs her food out to her a dollar. And 815 says, only a dollar? Come on, lady, if you're going to do it, make it count. That's the whole purpose of why I get mad at people.
They're handing a bag through a window.
No, they actually are walking out to give it to you. You haven't gone to a Culver's in the suburbs.
Fair.
It's like you order and you never get it right there ever. You have to pull up and wait. And can I just say something to the people waiting in the Culver's line? Move up when the car in front of you moves up. You're waiting for the food, but then if you don't move up, I can't move up, and then the person behind me can't pay because they can't get to the counter. Cash is king for tipping as a DoorDash driver. Tips on the app, not as exciting. I tip $10 for my deliveries, but I'm saying if you go to pick up your food at the grocery store, see, that's another question. I have never done that, where you order on the app from a grocery store and then you go pick it up. 'Cause then in a way they got all your stuff ready. So maybe you should tip it. 847, I only tip when picking up pot, not food. All right, good to know. who else? There was something else here we go. 708, I tip 10% if I pick up, 20% if I'm served. That's Mary from Downers Grove. 773, picking up, no tip. I don't sit there and eat. There are no tables to clean up or time spent serving. Would you tip the cashier at Jewel? See, that's where I just get confused. I don't know what the right answer is. Hi there, Connie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Yourself?
Great. I heard you talking about Culver's and the tip tips. I work for the Elgin Police Department, but I'm not working for them. I'm a volunteer. And we have fundraisers at the Culver's every other month or every couple weeks. And the money that is raised there goes back to the police department so that they can send kids to day camp and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so kind.
So I pick up the food from the individual, and then I deliver it to the people who have ordered it, either outside or inside. And I've gotten a couple of tips from them, like a dollar and stuff like that. So I just donate that back to the police department. But I think it is a wonderful idea.
I do, too. That's really sweet. All right, Connie. Well, good luck with your fundraising at the Elgin Police Department. We appreciate you listening. Marcy has called us, 312-981-7200. I'm a cheapskate, aren't I, Marcy?
No, you are not, Wendy. But I do love the idea of tipping the food runners at Culver's, so I'd have to keep some real cash in my car now.
Yeah, that is another thing. I never have cash on me, but I like that, too, because they're not expecting it. They run it out to you. That's something where you're...
They're always so kind.
Yeah.
Pleasant.
Yeah, they really are. All right. But what do you think about picking something up, or, you know, what do you think on that?
Well, let me tell you my story, though. I took my daughter to Hampton Social Club in Old Orchard the other night, and the service was okay. No, you know, no big deal, nothing wrong. And the server, when he brought out the check, he said, well, there's an 18% tip on here already, but that's, you know, to share amongst everybody, so... Please feel free to tip me additional.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I was astounded. They actually had a spot for another tip. I kind of felt guilty, so I did, but I was really shocked that they say that to a customer when they already put... If they didn't put a tip on there, they would have gotten more.
Yeah.
But see... didn't care for that.
That seems weird. All right, Marcy. Well, that's an interesting story. I appreciate you sharing it. I have not come across that yet, but I'm sure I will.
It was new to me, but I can't wait for my next Culver's.
All right. Thank you so much, Marcy. I think Carol started a trend. And, you know, sometimes at McDonald's, when you go through the drive-through, sometimes you have to pull up into spot number 1 or 4. And I never remember which spot they have just said to me. But I do like that if somebody's running out to just a little bonus. Isn't that what a tip is supposed to be? Where you just, here's a little something extra, not, you know, being forced or guilted into giving it. It's a crazy world we live in now, isn't it? All right.
I take tips, though.
I know. And I'm going to tip Dave Schwann for his last newscast of the day.
Thank you.
Here's your tip. Don't go to Lollapalooza without an umbrella. There's your tip for the day. All right, Schwani has your news on 720 WGN. Hello, hello. It's Wendy Snyder here. Dave Plyer is not in next. What is today? Sunday. Oh, I got so confused. All right, Steve Dale's next. Here's why this happened. Friday I was in for Lisa and Dave Plyer was in. Yesterday I was not on the air. Today I am. Steve Dale's next. Tomorrow I'm in for John Hansen, Your Money Matters. I don't have any money, so my money does not matter. And he does such a great job with that show. And we were talking about tipping. Ron Brown is here. Hi, Ron Brown.
Hi, Wendy. It's Sunday.
It is. I figured that out Sunday. Now. I'm just a day off this week.
Close.
We were talking about tipping, and I felt bad because we didn't tip on a pizza pickup last night. And most people are saying if you pick it up, you don't have to tip.
I wouldn't, no.
Yeah, I know. And again, during the pandemic, it was different. I get that. But hopefully we have moved on. And the cost of food is up so high. I know the restaurants have to charge more because their groceries cost more. We're all doomed, aren't we? I've just realized this. Prices are not going to ever go back down. We're not going to make more money.
And the tax is going up.
Yeah, so how are we going to continue living?
Well, you should talk about getting a raise. That might help.
Who's laughing in the back?
That's Schwani.
I mean,
it's as if I said something funny.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be all doom and gloom, but it's like people are using their credit cards to buy groceries because you can't decide between gas and groceries. I mean, really, we're all doomed. And I think of that poor sweet Carol who just wants to give a Culver's person a dollar tip to run a bag out. That is just the sweetest thing.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Ron Brown is here because you love movies.
I do.
I learned that because you do movie reviews on Lisa Dent's show on Thursday. And I thought, well, let's talk to Ron about things going on in the entertainment world. I saw a movie last night, Ron.
You
Brown.
Did?
I did.
At the movie theater?
No, I didn't see it at the
theater.
You saw
it in the comfort of your home. That's okay.
Yes. I watched Obsession.
Oh, what did you think of that?
I didn't know what I was walking into, first and foremost, okay. Which I think is helpful.
Yes.
I was watching it, and I was creeped out, horrified, and yet I laughed like crazy.
That's right, yeah. Those are all the right emotions.
It was great.
Yeah.
And Freaky Nikki deserves some kind of award for that, because she's a great actor.
She really is, and she's very pretty. She was out of this guy's league, but you do not want a woman to smile at you the way that she was smiling at him, ever. That's creepy.
That was the best scene. We saw her smiles twice, one in a great moment. Again, no spoilers. Go into it. I mean, I just didn't know it was supposed to be funny.
Oh, yeah. It's got the whole bag of tricks in there. And they are talking about making a sequel, but it's a series of sequels for streaming. So that could be coming your way because it was such a huge success on such a tiny budget. And they're like, hey, we like money. Let's do more of these. So hopefully the quality holds up to the first one. But
it was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
everybody loved
real
it.
Real quick, Eli, you liked it too? It was great.
Yeah, it was a super fun concept. I was aware of this director through his sketch comedy already, so I wasn't expecting the horror movie transition type, but I loved this movie. I watched it last week. All the same kind of reviews that the both of you have already said were unexpectedly funny, incredible performances all around, and just considering the budget they were able to put this on, they shot it for under $1 million, and it's breaking so many box office records like worldwide that this movie deserves all the flowers.
Good for them. People are going back to the movies.
So. Yeah. Well, I do want to say one thing. I don't know the character name or the actor, but he played the friend. I'm not going to give that away. Cooper Tomlinson played Ian.
Yeah, played Ian. Cooper is one of the sketch actors in the director's main sketch group. They're kind of like a modern day Key and Peele, if you will.
Yes. All right.
Cooper and Curry Barker is the director.
All right, Cooper reminds me of Kevin Powell. I watched it, and I kept seeing Kevin Powell from Afternoon Sports here on WGN Radio. So I just wanted to throw that out
there.
You'll
have to tell him that tomorrow.
Yes, I will. he reminded me of him. I don't know why.
In a good way, I'm sure.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I thought of him all night because I was watching the movie, so it was great. All right. So what do you want to discuss? People are going back to the movies.
They are. Matter of fact, there was a record box office weekend thanks to Spider-Man Brand New Day and The Odyssey. Together, they created the biggest collective weekend in box office history. None bigger. $430 million combined. So, that's... I mean, it's right. More people went to the movie. Well, at least they paid more. Let's put it that way. They paid more to go to the movies this weekend than any other time in history of the movies. So, Spider-Man Brand New Day, that opened with a $168 million on Friday, but over the weekend, it had $325 million. Jeez. No, they expected it to make $325. It actually brought in $355 million for Spider-Man Brand New Day. Yeah. Well, $20 million here, you know, there's $20 million there. That figure it gave Brand New Day the second biggest opening weekend in history. And I'm going to review on Thursday Spider-Man Brand New Day, and I have to admit that I'm not, it's not that I'm not a fan of the comic book movies. They just don't appeal to me. I figure I've aged out. So I didn't see any of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. So I'm having to do my homework first and watch the first three. I think this is the fourth one with Tom Holland. And it's fun homework. You know, it's watching movies and it's like, oh, these are kind of, you know, these are kind of fun. I mean, I don't dislike them. It's just
right.
That
it's they not
didn't
your...
they didn't appeal to me. Yeah. It's like I don't have children. So, I mean, I have children, but I don't take them to the movies anymore. So, you know, they're too old for that themselves. So.
Yeah, I have a bunch of nerds in my house, which will they'll go see it. I don't know that I'm going to go see Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, I talked to Lauren Lapp because she went to see it and she said, oh, it's a lot of fun. I've seen all the Spider-Man movies. So I'm not saying that, you know, that it's for geeks or nerds or anything like that.
Oh,
it's
she's just a nerd. She'll be the first to admit it.
Well, yeah, I didn't say she's not one, but.
But I love her.
She's fantastic. Yeah. And she said she likes this one a lot. She highly recommended it. So I'm like, all right, I've got to go back and watch the other Tom Holland Spider-Man movies because I think the last one I saw was one with Andrew Garfield, and that was like 20 years ago.
I actually saw that one.
Yeah. So in the one with, what's his name? Tobey Maguire. I saw those. I took my son to see those, and he was traumatized by the Green Goblin or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He ran out of the movie theater when the Green Goblin came up. It was Willem Dafoe, and he ran out. And I was like, you don't want to go back? And he's like, no. And I said, okay. And about a week later, he goes, Dad, can we go see the Spider-Man movie? I forget how old he was, about 7 years old, maybe eight. And I said, yeah, we can go see it. We watched the whole thing. It's just a movie. You know, I kind of explained to him, it's just a movie. That's their intent is to be a little scary, but it'll resolve itself. That's what movies do. And I explained to him, you know, because he's a very intelligent young kid. And we went back and, it scared him again. So I don't know if I should be paying for his, psychoanalysis right now or what, but the Green Goblin just scared the pants off of him.
Willem Dafoe scares the pants off of me.
Yeah. Maybe that was a little too, a little too much for a kid. But
well, you're a good dad. That was a great way to explain it. It's just a movie. It's just on the screen.
That's it. It's like they make these things are written in advance. They know what's going to happen. You know, these are makeup. These are special effects. You know, maybe I took some of the mystery away from it for him. But he still loves movies to this day, and we still do go to movies together, and it's been a long time since he's ran out of the movie theater. So I think we're okay with that. But Spider-Man Brand New Day and The Odyssey, really big, made a lot of money. People are going back to the movies. And they're streaming, too. You want to know what else is new streaming this month? Michael, the music biopic of Michael Jackson's career. Have you seen that yet?
No, I have to see that. I've heard mainly good things about it.
Well, the good thing is that it's Michael Jackson's music. And the not so good is that it just is kind of like a comic book version of Michael Jackson's life. So if you're not looking for anything more than that, if you're just looking for a celebration of his music, then I enjoyed that part of it and surprised me. It's going to be streaming on Stars starting on August 10th. Normal is a new movie that's streaming on HBO Max. That's with local dude done good, Bob Odenkirk. You like Bob Odenkirk?
I love him so much.
He made the transition that's just incredible to go from comedy to action hero. And this is another one of his action movies. This was so much fun. I enjoyed this. I saw it and reviewed this earlier, but now it's going to be streaming on HBO Max starting August 14th. And one that I would highly recommend is Steven Soderbergh's The Christopher. It stars Ian McKellen and Michelle Cole. It begins streaming on Hulu August 22nd. And he's an aging artist who's, one foot in the grave, basically. And she's the artist's assistant. And it's just a two-person, two-hander, they call it, movie. And the acting is incredible. The writing is incredible. It's a nice a nice story about their relationship and how one helps the other. And it's called The Christophers because he's a painter and he had a series of paintings about his a love of his life, a young man when he was younger, called Christopher. And oh. That starts streaming on August 22nd.
Those all sound really good.
They are, yeah.
All right. Well, Ron Brown, thank you very much, and hopefully your son isn't listening and will run out during your newscast later on today.
Well, see, I'm not a Green Goblin, so I'll try not to do any Green Goblin impressions.
Oh, good. Please don't. Ron Brown, he's doing your news the rest of the afternoon. I really appreciate it, Ron. Thank you.
I always enjoy it, Wendy.
Thanks. And we're going to take a quick break and say hello to Steve Dale, who is coming up next.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, not yet.
All right,
oh,
well,
sorry.
Forget it. Now you've just blown your whole little segment.
For the Wendy, the first time.
All right, 720 WGN. All right, it's funny you're playing this. It's Wendy Snyder here. We'll say hello to Steve Dale right now. But we used to have these open mic nights at our block parties, and this was one of the songs I sang, and my husband played guitar.
Wow. So I can ask you to come and perform at a benefit of some sort.
I wouldn't do that.
With Jimmy Mack.
Well, actually, he's probably better on guitar now. He practices more. I don't sing very much. I just yell at people. How are you, Steve Dale?
I am great. Thank you so much.
I've been loving your weekend shows.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Last week, I've been in this business for decades,
yeah.
Right? And it was the first show ever.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. It was the first show.
Because I was shocked.
Right. You're right.
You weren't here.
It was the first show ever, ever, ever. Snow, anything.
You're like the postman, mainly. Through rain, snow, sleet, and hail.
Up till last week. And the airlines couldn't get me back from New Jersey. I was coming back on Saturday. So I figured, okay, that's plenty of time.
Yeah.
I'm not on the air till Sunday. And there was terrible rain in New Jersey. I was coming in from Newark, and every flight was canceled. So I was on standby on other flights, but they were all canceled. Kept my original flight, originally at 2:30, and by now it's at midnight, literally. And finally, they canceled that flight. They did, United Airlines, I will say, put me up at a hotel, which was like 35 minutes away. So, you know, so I went to the hotel. I got up at 4 a.m. for the 6 o'clock flight. And as soon as I got up, I checked my phone and that flight's canceled. And every single flight. And by now it's sunny and beautiful out.
So you don't get it. I mean, you know why, but it still seems weird.
Well,
like they wouldn't catch up.
No, they didn't. Every flight from Kennedy or LaGuardia or Newark to Chicago that day was canceled. Every flight.
You were totally trapped.
So they had me going to Dulles, but for some reason that, and then to Chicago, and I would have missed my show, but that flight was canceled too. Actually, I saw someone, I was at the United Club, and where I like to hang out, and
hoity-toity, Mr.
No,
look at my
not.
Food, it's better than yours.
So good. And there I am talking to this woman. I said, I need to get back. I need to go on the radio. She said, where? I said, WGN radio. She said, WGN, I'm going to get you back. And she put me on the 6 a.m. flight the next day. That
really?
Was canceled too. But that was so nice. Yes. Yes. And it's hard to, it was at that point impossible to get on any flights, even if they weren't canceled, because everyone was jumping on whatever they could.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was crazy. So I finally got to Nashville. So I run to the gate to get a flight to Nashville. I'm going to miss the show at this point. But
you want to get home.
At least I'm going to get home, right? Get to the gate. I've got my boarding pass. I literally make it by 2 seconds before they close the door or are about to. And they said, my boarding pass has been canceled.
What?
That's what I said. Well, with some other language. And I showed him. I said, this doesn't make sense. If I've got a boarding pass, how can... He said, I don't know. We've never seen this. Our computer shows it's canceled, but you're right. You have a boarding pass. So no one had my seat. It wasn't an overbooked situation. They had system issues over the day and a half. So they got me on the plane, and I did get to Nashville.
See, that's what I heard. You were stuck in Nashville, but then you were like, I'm stuck in New Jersey, so I didn't know who to believe, but you were stuck in both places.
Yeah. But from Nashville, I did get to Chicago, but by the time I got to Nashville, it was already 1 o'clock, so obviously I wasn't going to make the show, so.
Well, we missed you.
Well, thank you. I miss being here. I mean, really, first time in all of these years, which I'm not going to say how many, but a long time, as you know, in this business, mm-hmm. that I've ever missed a show. You know, without planning for a vacation in advance, but nothing like that.
Right, like a spur of the moment.
Not even if I'm sick, you know, which is never a good idea, by the way.
To come in while you're sick?
Yeah.
You mentioned your flight was at 2:30. Do you know what a dentist's favorite time is? You don't know this?
Fairy?
No.
2:30?
Yeah, tooth hurdy. I thought you were going to say that because everybody knows that joke, and I was going to say, no, 2 o'clock.
So on the show today, I'll be talking to Wayne Mesmer.
Oh, remember I love him. Yes, of course I do.
Every time you turn around and there's a national anthem, it seemed, in Chicago anyway, it seemed he was singing that national anthem. And then he was shot.
I know. And it was the craziest story in the neck.
Yeah. He was carjacked, or at least that was the attempt.
Near the old stadium.
United Center now, yeah. Yeah, and he's doing great, mm-hmm. and he's performing all over town, and we will talk to, I think it's safe to say he's a Chicago legend at this point in time.
For sure.
Yep. And I'm honored to have him here, and we're going to sing the national anthem. He does not know that, but...
Well, he's going to sing.
Oh.
Right? And Martha Vandella, or Martha, Martha Reeves, and without the Vandellas.
Are you going to stick around to sing with him as Martha?
No.
Oh, I'm a little disappointed.
Did you hear her singing? Everyone's mad at me because
she
does not sound. Can you just play just towards the end of it? She sang at the women's professional baseball inaugural opening game in Springfield yesterday. They had a 99-year-old former baseball player throw out the first pitch. We don't have a team in Illinois yet, but they brought out Martha Reeves to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Here's a snippet.
Who's in her 70s?
She's 85.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in church it would sound nice, maybe.
Ethel Merman's a fan.
It would be much louder.
Yeah, wait, look, just for the end, just a snippet. Listen, I love her so much, and I'll say this. She wasn't off key. She wasn't.
I'm not sure of that.
I don't think she was. She's, you know, God bless her. So I'm not, you know, criticizing.
Listen, she's 85. Mm-hmm. She was there.
Yeah, God love her for being there.
Exactly.
Just like you. You're 85 too, aren't you? You look great. You've been doing this a long time, as you said.
What the heck? I thought you were my best friend.
2 o'clock.
How old am I?
I'm kidding. All right, so Wayne Mesmer will be on the show. Anybody else?
85.
No, you're younger than I am.
You know, they still ask me for my card.
You mean your ID?
Yeah, when I go to get a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they're asking me for a different ID than they did years ago. Something about a Social Security card. Anyway, also on the show, the Whisper Restaurant Group. So among the restaurants they have is the one they have.
I know. That was very affected in
thank
L.A.
You very much. Yes, they have. Is on Oak Street Beach.
I love it when you correct yourself. That was great. All right, go ahead.
On Oak Street Beach, you know, where the curve.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like, I'm not really in Chicago. I'm in Mexico having a margarita. That is, all the restaurants have that in common. They're in a park somewhere in Chicago. And we'll talk to them about their many restaurants, but also about the Chicago Air and Water Show coming up. And you can sit there and have a drink. But I am so excited and so sad. I'm sad because I got a call yesterday from U.S. Representative Mike Quigley, who said, I know I was going to be in studio with you, Steve, but a tree fell on my car. So
bad storms.
Yeah. So even U.S. representatives can have trees fall on their cars. He's running for mayor.
Who isn't?
I know. The lineup is even. Last year, I had everyone running for mayor on the show at some point. I don't know if I can do that again because I don't even know some of these people. I don't know. I see their names, but I don't know who they are. You know, it's like 18 people or something.
I know.
So
and
far,
now Alexi Giannoulias jumping in.
Yeah, I tried to. We officially tried to reach out to him, and so far has not responded. But I'm sure I'll get him on at some point in time. But the point in time for Mike Quigley is today. We're going to talk about everything. We'll talk about parking meters, which is a big issue. We'll talk about, why not, the Chicago Bears. We will talk about public safety. And we'll talk about what I think will end up being the most prominent issue in the election, and that's housing.
Oh, yeah.
Affordable housing.
Steve Dell and the Californians are coming up next here on WG.
Nice.
Have fun. All right.
I will.
I'll be listening.
Do.
I'll be in for John Hansen tomorrow from 6 to 7, Your Money Matters. Until
and
then.
And if people listen, they will make money.
Yeah. Then I don't know if that's true.